I don't hear shit. UFC doesn't contact me, doesn't talk to me once. I'm watching Robbie Lawler fight Carlos Condit. Me and my dad watching. And they start playing a preview for Dana White looking for a fight. And all of a sudden, the majority of the preview is me talking on the microphone, showing my highlights of my fight. I love to fight that guy, CM Punk, like all that shit. Like all, and we're like, what the fuck? I'm just watching the fights. Me and my dad are like, we're losing our mind. We're like recording the screen. We're rewinding and like recording it. No word.
Whoa. Without telling you this is coming?
Not telling me a thing.
They still cage matching MCs and scrapping. Not the UFC, but my opponent is capping. So don't let a little bit of fear turn to hatred. I was sent as a savior to be vibe of the sacred. Also stop this uncalled for behavior. And sipping rap cats, they lack taste and flavor. Got word from the wise to let it drop. Set this on fire, take aim, then let it
The last fight I got into was... Oh, about 2005, 2006, something like that. A man named Bobby Lee, Robert Lee. I'd already punched him and kicked him while he was on the ground once, and then I choked him another time. It wasn't really much of a choke because I had my hand around his neck, and then when he tried to rush in at me to stop me, which was fair, I just squeezed his neck with my two fingers, Darth Vader style, but not, you know, not from far away, from right on. Ooh, these socks are tight. Anyway, this last time that I fought, I was chasing him. He was running away from me. He saw me coming at him to beat him, and he correctly ran. However, his legs, being stubby as they are, could not carry him away from my long strides. And so when I came up on him, behind the Comedy Store, it was right the entrance sort of to the parking lot, between the back door and the parking lot, I sort of jumped, and then on the way down, punch. Guys, listen, I know that sometimes you'll see like a highlight of yourself playing golf, and you see a good shot, and then you see the highlighter, your friend will tape it, and you're like, ugh, I did not look as good, or basketball, or anything like that. I got to be honest. This must have looked amazing. I gave him a Superman punch. I Superman punched Bobby Lee. So all my weight was coming down. I don't even know if it has less power. It might be like sliding into first, but actually slowing yourself down. But man, it connected. And he went down as his normal. His main defense is a potato bug. Roly-poly. So he went down, and I stood over him and said, every time I see you, this is going to happen. Now, if every opponent was as weak as Bobby Lee, I'd be a professional fighter. However, a lot of these fighters have heart, have skills. So, you know, I was never able to become this professional fighter. Sad, but I can accept it. Also, I'm quite fragile. I broke my hand skiing. I'll be in fucking surgery tomorrow, putting a pin in my arm. I do not regret going skiing. However, I do know a UFC fighter named Mickey Gall, an up-and-coming fighter. So I decided, instead of having the glory fighters of like to come on and talk about like what it's like to be a champion, I would like to get a looper. That's what I call him. A fucking worker bee fighter. Someone who's in the trenches trying to make a name for himself. Just a regular guy. What it's like to be a regular UFC fighter. I don't want to hear what it's like to be fucking Derek Jeter. You know? I want to hear what it's like to be Scott Brosius. Trying to stay on a team, playing well, having fun, having some good seasons, some bad seasons. This is no longer a metaphor for Mickey Gall. I should just interview Scott Brosius. So I had him come in. He came out of my apartment. He brought over some fucking hard root beer. Fucking, dude, I don't know what's better. You know how we always get into debates about what's better? Like, is Emmitt Smith better or was Barry Sanders better? And neither one are really wrong. But you get into this argument that if you pick Barry Sanders, it's almost like you're saying Emmitt Smith sucks. Or if you pick Emmitt Smith, it's like saying Barry Sanders sucks. That's not it. If you want consistency, longevity of career, probably Emmitt Smith. If you want dazzling plays, it's got to be Barry Sanders. But even if you pick against one, it's not like the other's shit. The other's great. So it sort of minimizes the other to have to pick one. So I don't want to minimize this. And I can't tell you if Long Island is the most garbage area or New Jersey is the most garbage area. I'm just talking about the people. I'm not sure. But I will tell you they're both garbage people, Long Island and New Jersey. I've recently, since hanging out with Sal Volcano and a couple other people, I'm taking Staten Island off the list of most garbage. They're not in the running anymore. It's garbage, but not the most garbage. But even if I pick Long Island, it doesn't mean New Jersey people aren't trash And Mickey Gall came over to my apartment to do a podcast with a bunch of hard root beers. By the way, then I got too fucked up on him. And we went to New York. I forgot about this. What a pussy I am, dude. What a fucking pussy. I do all these drugs. I talk a big game, but it's not like I can handle it better. I ain't no Superman. Dude, so we were talking outside in the bar outside New York Comedy Club. And I just start going like, hey, I gotta go check in. He's like, you're all right? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I'll meet you in there. And I went into the back. Cannon was there. I forget who else. And I was like, they're like, hey, are you next? I'm like, hey, can I switch with somebody? And they're like, why? What's the matter? And I'm like, dude, I'm about to pass out. I had smoked too much and drank too much. Fucking hard root beer. Dude, you can't hang out with trash when you're not trash. You can't just expect you to like fucking join in. It's like you hang out with college girls and they're like, we're doing shots today. And you do shots and then you're barfing because you're out of practice. You're not there. This is why the fucking Philip Seymour Hoffman died of heroin. You can't go back to the old amount you can do, your old tolerance. You got to start from scratch again. You give up weed for 2 weeks. You can't just smoke the same amount. You can't fucking gravity bong fucking Super Blue Dream. What was the best? Maui Wowie. No, Maui Wowie was good, but it's not the strongest. Third Eye. That Third Eye, man, was killing everybody in LA for a while. You can't go straight to a gravity bonk Third Eye. Anyway, I tried to drink and hang out and keep up with some fucking New Jersey trash. And I fucked up. So what we decided is we're going to do this podcast, and I'm going to release it in conjunction with his next fight. And guess what? He's fighting this Saturday, March 2nd. At welterweight against a fucking UFC legend, Diego Sanchez. I want everybody to pull for Mickey Gall. Everybody pull for him. He's 27. He's 5-1. And this is a big fucking matchup for him. Yeah, I've known him for a while, dude. He used to be a fan of Punch Drunk. And then he was just like, you know, he'd call in. We were like, oh, man, maybe UFC fighter. He got his fight with CM Punk and won that. He started doing some Legion of Skank stuff. He tapped Lewis a bunch of times. I've only tapped him once or twice, Lewis. Oh, the rain of fucking feces. That's the only thing I'm using my backyard for anymore, is to store my shits and my pisses in this bucket in the back. So I can... well, you know what? I've said too much, actually. I gotta go back and fucking delete that part. Anyway, he was there. Mickey Gall was there for the gift I bought Big J. If you want to see a fucking fun video, YouTube. I'm going to see if it's even there right now. Ari Shaffir, birthday present, Big J. Let me see if it is there. I got Big J for his birthday. I know he's a huge Avenged Sevenfold fan. I got him a signed copy of the new Avenged Sevenfold album. And is it really not there? Wow. Nope, it's not there. Well, I guess if you didn't see it, you didn't see it. Smooth move, Lewis. Anyway, he was there for that. And he's been around, and he's cool. So I interviewed him. Let's do it, right? Oh, I've got a sponsor. Blue Chew, everybody. Dick pills. Who has a dick? You want dick pills. Guys, it's not just for men. If you're a chick and you're sick of your husband getting fucking... you know, soft-dicked around you because you got a drink just to stand you again because your relationship is fucking sour, but both of you are too cowardly to fucking break up and move on. So he drinks just to stand your company. Of course, that results in the one thing that's good about a relationship, the sex, to be non-existent because of that whiskey dick. Well, now there's a cure. Blue Chew. BlueChew.com/skeptic or BlueChew.com/Ari. Also live as a backup. Ari should be using the ad, though. Okay. Code Ari, BlueChew.com/Ari. Guys, it's dick pills. They're fucking solid. I've used them. They keep me rock fucking hard. No, I tested them. First, Lewis was telling me about them, actually. Goma was like, oh, dude, you want some Blue Chews? I'll give you some. That's fucking... he couldn't stop raving about them. BlueChew.com/Ari. You know what I want to see? I want to see a UFC fighter with just fucking rock-hard Blue Chew cock going into the octagon and just making everybody feel weird. Remember that UFC? I think it was Heath Herring. I think it was in Pride. And before, you know, they're face to face, before they touch gloves, this guy kissed him and the dude just knocked him out. I think it was Heath Herring. Wait, Heath Herring is a fucking... That's Keith Haring as an artist. Okay, yeah. Anyway, bluechew.com/Ari. Get your dick pills, everybody. You know what they are. You know what they are. They're fucking dick pills. So you just go to bluechew.com. It fell a little form. It takes like a minute. And then they just send you dick pills to your door. I can't explain it any better than that. Bluechew.com/Ari. And then you get something for free. I forget what. Okay, I found it. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Visit bluechew.com/Ari and get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code Ari. Just pay $5. Oh, free dick pills, everybody. Use code Ari and get your free dick pills. Bluechew.com. Use code Ari. Okay, let's start the episode. I am going to be in coming up. Yeah, I'm home for a week, I guess. But Phoenix and Tempe in the beginning of March, followed by Miami and West Palm in mid-March, and then Las Vegas with the guys doing short sets at the end of March. All tickets are at arithegreat.com. And then Toronto, second show added. First show is sold out at the Danforth Music Hall in April. Then I got some other stuff. Calgary is coming up. What else? Calgary, Cleveland. Yeah, that's March. Well, I gotta add some more dates, bro. Yeah, I gotta fucking get on booking. All right. Portland and Seattle at the end of April. Where's that one? Yeah, anyway, check arithegreat.com for tickets. 27th and 28th of April. Portland and Seattle. If you came to see my show in Seattle at the Crocodile, it was a small place, it went fast. This is going to be bigger. It's going to be mostly the same show. So new people come. You can avoid the service charge by going to the fucking Neptune's box office and picking up tickets. Service charges are way too high. I've done everything I can to lower them. I don't get any of that, if you're wondering. It's just fucking that fucking corporation has a monopoly that Pearl Jam probably tried to fight. I can't fight them. So if you go to the box office, there's no service charges. That's the only thing I can tell you. Anyway, let's start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen. One of my favorite things to see at the UFC. One of my favorite things to see when I go is that fucking Who song. But they do the fucking montage too. That's great. But I don't even know where I was going with that. Let's just start the episode. Ladies and gentlemen, Ari Shaffir Skepetank, episode 349. Listen, I might have to do a different episode next week than Shooter. If I do, it'll be Tom Rhodes, I think, for his new album. His new album's out. You guys should fucking get it. It wasn't out as of when I decided to do this one. So, it's not out yet, but it'll be out soon. So, okay. If I have to, I'm going to release episode 351 next week and then episode 350 the week after that so I can keep Danish and O'Neill on the every 50. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, let's start this episode. Ari Shaffir Skepetank, episode 349. So you want to be an Ultimate Fighter. With Mickey Gall, starts now. I don't know. I got it. There's more work I got to do. I'm thinking sometime around June.
Okay.
But I don't know. I got to finish first. I'm doing all this like Jew shit. So it's the first time I've ever tried to like, not just like write bits, but like write about a specific subject.
Okay.
So then I have to like for the first time, it's not like, okay, I've got an hour. I've got a really solid hour. It's like, there's other shit I didn't cover yet.
Yeah. There's a lot of material to
That's
find
the thing,
in there,
and I don't
right?
want
to
like go like, what about this? You didn't even say, what about kosher?
Yeah. You're going to have to do Jew part two.
Yeah. I don't want to do that. I want to cover it and then just be done with it forever.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's a strong hour right now. I've just got to figure out how to get those new shits in.
You're not sure when, though, you're going to release it? You think, like, winter, late winter?
What I really might do is record it maybe in June or something like that. Because I got a tour to run America first, and I'm going to go on a European tour in November. And so then it's like I really get a strong in America on the road.
Nice.
But then record it and then, like, take off, leave the country again for a while, and then maybe I have Netflix or whomever just go, like, dude, don't put this out for like 9-10 months because I'm not going to be here. So,
wait, are you gonna take another trip again?
Yeah, just get out.
Nice.
Fucking go. Yeah.
Nice. So you just came back from Scott for sure.
Yeah.
For sure, but I never do. I'm always like, I'm kind of like a trainaholic.
Yeah.
But I want to do that shit bad. Like I always I romanticize it all the time.
Could you ever? My problem is. There's only three cities in the world I can live and do what I love doing, which is L.A., New York, and London.
Okay. London's got a big scene?
Yeah.
London's got
a big scene. And it's, they're behind us as a fucking art form, but it's still got plenty of places to go up.
Yeah. Fighting you could do pretty much anywhere.
Yeah. So, like, when I'm in a place like that, I could do an occasional gig, but not really. But you could go to, like, Thailand and train kickboxing for a while.
I probably will. That's something that, like, is more, like, attainable and, like, I'll be able to do for sure.
I met here. East Coast or West Coaster?
Huh?
You want East Coaster or West Coaster?
Nice. I'll stick with the West Coaster.
Okay.
Now that you got Biggie and Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking cool. That's cool. That's very cool.
I don't know where
cool.
I got these, but I love them.
That's cool.
Yeah, I met a dude out there in Chiang Mai or north of Chiang Mai in Pai who was training, just some white dude out there training kickboxing.
Hey, how long were you in Thailand for?
Thailand this time, like 3 weeks.
Okay.
It was
great.
Supposed to,
Is it awesome?
It's fucking cool.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be just a stopover on the way to Laos from Myanmar. It was supposed to be there for like 2 days, and then you get sidetracked in Thailand.
Dude, I want to go there. I haven't, until I started doing the UFC.
Yeah.
Like, I got to go to London for the first time with the UFC.
What do you mean?
Yeah, they did, when they did, who was fighting? That doesn't matter. But I got to go, like, they do these things called guest fighters. So I got to go, so if, I was making noise and stuff, so they brought me to London to, like, they'll fly out a guest fighter. You do, like, an appearance. Maybe I went to Denver. I did, like, a Metro PCS appearance and, like,
and then they just show you on TV, like,
yeah, I get
oh, look,
front row
here.
Exactly, front row seats.
Yeah.
Like, you get to be out. I got to go to London for a week.
That's so cool.
So that was cool. Yeah, I try and take advantage of those.
Dude, the free trips in life, it's the best.
It's awesome.
I've gotten actually for the UFC. I've gotten a lot of them.
Really?
Just because Rogan, in his contract, when they were fucking fighting for in front of, 2,000 people, his contract was I get a first-class ticket and a free companion ticket.
Nice.
And a free companion hotel room.
Hell yeah.
So then it was just like, well, I want to go to fucking someplace.
And
I'm like, yeah, okay.
Hotel room.
Yeah.
Room ticket.
There was one flight to Australia because the UFC got bigger. The contract was already set.
You went to Australia with the UFC?
Yeah. First class. We went there for 2 nights. Yeah.
How long's that ride?
13 hours from LA.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's not so bad.
It's not so bad. But also first class, you have your own bed. It was fucking great. I jerked off on the flight. It was just fucking great. Not even in the bathroom. In my seat.
In your seat?
Yeah. You get a pod. It's great.
That's gangster.
But Dana White was like, at the airport, he came up to me like in a huff. He's like, do you know how much your ticket costs? And I was like, I heard it goes, $25,000.
$25,000?
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah. I wanted to be like, I couldn't do it, but I wanted to be like, dude, bump me down to coach and you take 10 and I'll take 10.
Yeah, that would have been fun.
I'll be okay with that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, I don't know how to ask.
Dude, that's the way you got to go. Sitting on those airplane flights, and you're a big, tall dude.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's like. My shoulders, man, I'm always spilling into the other
next
seats.
To people?
I'm like, yeah.
How and tall are you?
6'2".
Yeah, I'm 6'2½", so you're a little smaller than me, but that's cool. But
you only tower over me by a little.
Towering is a towering. It doesn't really matter.
Towering.
Yeah. But yeah, those free flights are fucking great.
Yeah.
How'd you like London?
I love London. London was dope. I did all the things, drinking, eating. I have such a different life when I'm in training camp versus when I'm out of training camp.
Why?
Because I live like a monk, Like right now we're drinking alcoholic root beers.
Hard root beer.
Yeah, and but I'm like, I'll be eating nothing but salmon and asparagus for like a month. No alcohol, just training two times a day, losing weight.
Yeah.
You know?
What's your normal? What do you like? When they say walk
around
at, and then what are the? Yeah, and then what do you got to get down to?
So I walk around like right now. I'm like 200.
200 pounds.
200 pounds. So check this out.
I mean, that's not as fat as Gomez, but that's pretty fat.
Check this out. I got on Tuesday, so I fought like 3 weeks ago in Lincoln, Nebraska. When I arrived in Lincoln and they checked my weight, I had drank like 2 gallons of water, so like that's weight, but I weighed 197.
Yeah.
And then on Friday, I weighed 169 for my weigh-ins.
Wow.
And then about 5 hours later, I weighed 195 the same day.
What, sweat it all out?
So yeah. So what you do is you water load. Not water. You water load.
It's such garbage people talk.
No, bro. I can't help it. I'm so aware of it, too. I'm so fucking aware of it, too. I'm like, because people are like, what'd you say? Are you Australian? What?
Yeah, because it's like a southern accent, like you sound like a redneck, but that feeling water. Del Marva accent is like, what the
and
fuck
I'm North
is
Jersey.
That?
I'm North Jersey. But yeah,
North Jersey? You
North
still
Jersey.
Talk that way?
Yeah. Say water. That's my one. But, so what we're saying, how you get down.
Yeah.
So you water load. So you drink like, I drink like 3 gallons of water a day from Sunday till like Wednesday.
So what, to fill up on water?
Yeah, you fill up on water and you get your body used to sweating it out. So like I'm doing workouts and like I'm hitting like saunas and then what I do is, so now my body's used to this. It's used to peeing out. I'll lose
constantly.
10 pounds overnight, right? From like just peeing and like my, the calories burnt catching up. So then on Thursday, I stopped drinking. And Thursday fucking sucks because I'm so thirsty.
Thursday,
I go
what's
through,
that? All day Thursday you stop drinking?
You're allowed. So the rules, they say you could do like 30 ounces. But I just pretty much stopped just to make it easier on myself. But it sucks. Like I'm swishing water in my mouth and just spitting it in the corner of the hotel room because I'm so parched. It's miserable. I don't sleep Thursday night because I'm so uncomfortable that
really?
How dry my mouth is. Yeah. So then by the end of the week, I'm down in like the 70s. And then you do these things called Epsom salt baths. So you do Epsom salt. You do green rubbing alcohol.
That helps you lose weight?
Yeah. So you,
damn,
and you do it,
just
you do the
heal.
Water as hot as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And you go in there and it's like, and you it's like submerge your body and your heartbeat's going. It's like crazy, but you'll sweat out. You lose 5 pounds in a 10 minute bath.
Really?
Yeah. But it's like people are like, really, I got to learn to do that so I could lose a quick 5 pounds. I'm like, you're going to feel like shit. Like we feel terrible.
But also it's not really losing the weight. It's just for
it's manipulating your water weight. Yeah.
Like in the morning you weigh less in the afternoon, but like pretty much it's an average of all day.
What do you mean?
I mean like first thing in the morning you weigh yourself.
Yeah.
It's different than last thing at night.
Sure.
But like you are actually those two weights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What cutting, it's like you're not actually 170.
No. Yeah. That's I hit that number for like 15 minutes. I'm on 170.
And then what do you keep weighing yourself and aiming yourself?
Beforehand or after? What are you
during like the cut part?
During
like,
camp? Yeah. So I would check my when I go to bed weight.
Uh-huh.
And often I would like go to bed at like 199 and I wake up at like 189.
Mm.
And then I would be doing that for a week. And I'm like, so I came in at 189 waking up in the morning, which is like, that means I have 19 pounds to actually cut at that morning.
The day, in 27 hours or
no,
whatever?
No, that was fight week when I started on Sunday. So now I really start to pull back on like food. I'm eating minimal amounts, you know, just enough to like get through the day, you know? I mean like a small piece of salmon, maybe like an egg.
Zero carbs.
Pretty much zero carbs. So you can have under a certain amount. I would eat like an English muffin. You want it? Now this is weird. You want to do no fiber because you can lose like if you have fiber and you're eating, everyone used to eat vegetables, but you hold that and you have like your gut content. You can lose like 2 to 4 pounds just from like your gut content. Cause if you hold a lot of water in your guts.
So do you guys have scientists working for you or like, how do you decide all this?
That's the thing, man. It's like, you're kind of your own coach or your own scientist, but then you also were taking pieces of information from everywhere. Like, yeah. I had this, when I first learned about this guy out in LA told me about it. This guy, Coach Ben Zong, he helped introduce like the gut elimination, gut content elimination, like all that stuff. But water loading, that's pretty common. Like everyone does that.
Yeah. Do you ever think they shouldn't even do the weigh-ins? Because it seems so fucking fake to me. Where it's like, so this guy's fighting at 205. Legitimately, they're both 170. This guy's fighting at 190. And this guy's fighting at 180.
Yeah.
So like, what? Then why have you made
everyone? It's kind of, it's like, It's almost like that broken window theory, like that Gladwell thing, like where everyone's just kind of that's what everyone's doing. So everyone has to now come down to meet that. Everyone's going to try and get that athletic advantage.
Yeah.
Right. So like if there's a 200 pounder, he's going to try and cut weight and get down to 70.
Yeah.
So if you're like, all right, I weigh 200 pounds, I'm going to fight at 205. Those 205ers come down from 230.
Right. So
everyone, you have to, it's kind of like someone fucked it up. So everyone else kind of has to fuck themselves up to get down to that weight.
It seems like the problem with steroids. Where it's like, you can do that if you want, but now you're forcing me to if you're doing it.
Yeah. It's a good thing that we have that USADA now. They test you, they'll knock on your door first thing in the morning. Yeah. Like, they're supposed to know where you are 24/7.
USADA, like, I'm supposed to, USADA.
Yeah. Yeah. There's like, they could knock on your door right now and like, I didn't tell them where I was, but like if they showed up at like my house at home,
yeah,
they would like call me and be like, "Where are you? All right, you got to stay there. We're coming right now." And they test you, random drug tests.
Random. Whenever. How many times is it only in camp or is it while you're on a UFC?
It's especially
contract?
In camp, but you need to disclose your whereabouts at all time when you're a UFC contracted fighter.
Even if you're like, I'm not fighting for 9 months.
Yeah, yeah, because I could be taking steroids right now and getting good and like having effects that will last for.
And also to let yourself
months.
Train harder.
Yeah.
Okay. Without saying but yourself, I have heard differing reports from UFC fighters.
Mm-hmm.
What percentage of people are taking shit?
I don't know. I really don't know.
You've thought about it. You've talked about it with your friends though, right?
Like taking it personally or about like who's taking what?
I mean, like you must talk about like what percentage of fighters are on shit. You know,
I feel like it's all speculation. I mean,
yeah, sure.
I'm seeing more where it's like, oh, that doesn't look right or this doesn't look right. But you need like a chemist to like do that shit.
What do you mean to hide it?
So the battle will be between the chemists and the testers. And whenever the testers innovate and like have a good test, they're like, they can test for this peptide or steroid or whatever it is. Then the chemist will come up with a way to like kind of mask it or a new version of it that they don't test.
Right. So it's always trying to stay one step ahead.
Exactly. It's like a cat and mouse game.
So what percentage of people, or what do you say with your friends?
Bro, I have no idea.
You guys don't even talk about it?
I mean, we talk about it, but like who knows? I don't know what anyone else is doing other than me and like me and my friends, we don't.
Right.
But I don't know. I'm sure there's, I feel like with USADA, like it'd just be hard.
It's harder now.
For sure. As long as I've been in the UFC, it's been USADA. I've only been in the UFC for 2 years.
You didn't come after they got sold, did you? You came before?
I think I came right after. I think. Huh,
they changed shit once they got sold.
No, yes. I was before they got sold. So I had I guess I'll say for whoever's listening, I mean, I know you're a big Rabid fan of mine, so you probably know the whole story. But so I did my first pro fight in Philly.
Yeah.
For like a regional show. It's called Dead Serious MMA. And a month before that fight, I got a call from the promoter and was like, hey, Dana White's going to be at the fight.
Intentionally to watch you or just to be there?
Just to be there. Filming.
Oh, he goes to small shits like that?
Yeah. He was filming that show, Dana White looking for a fight.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, all right, he's probably, maybe. All right. So I'm immediately like, how can I take advantage of this?
Yeah.
I'm going to be 1-0. Who am I going to call out? Robbie Lawler? They're going to be like, shut up, idiot. No, you can't fight Robbie Lawler. Yeah. You just had your first fight.
It's like, that's not
so I was like, oh, there's that dude CM Punk. He's 0-0. He signed to the UFC. I was like, maybe I could get that fight. That'd probably blow me up pretty big. So I'm going to, you know.
Smart.
Immediately, when I found out he was there, I was like, oh, that's what I'm going to do. And he was at a show the night before. I'm like, I might be the 10th guy calling him out.
Calling out CM Punk.
I thought so. It was so obvious to me. It was so obvious.
A guy with no abilities.
I was like, I didn't know if he was going to be 185, 170. I'm like, fuck, I'll kill that dude. I'll fight him either way.
Whatever. He's really, it's not his fault. He's just not a trained fighter.
Yeah, and they gave him he's, he tries hard, I guess, and he's not a bad guy.
But his name is way bigger than his talent level.
100%.
So then you can just like take that name.
Yeah.
You're on a main card if you get that fight.
Yes. It's crazy. My first two UFC fights, Uriah Faber fought before me.
Both of them?
Both of them. The CM Punk fight and when I fought Sage Northcutt.
Wow.
He fought right before him. It's crazy. Uriah Faber, he's a legend,
Did you ever hear him talk about, was it Bali?
Nah.
The story about having to hide under that table?
No.
He had to fight in the Philippines or Bali or something and with some like locals and these cops started coming after him and he had to like run through some alleys.
No, I never heard that story.
When we're done.
All right, cool.
Oh, it was fucking. It was like, what? He was just interviewing somebody. Interviewing me, and they was like, "Where'd that cut come from on your head?" He's like, "Oh, dude." And
that's a good
story. He wasn't trying to say it. Yeah.
Nice.
I'll play it for you.
Yeah, I got to hear that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I called out CM Punk, and then
what? Where do you in the ring or
yeah,
or Dana?
I got the microphone after, and I was just like that. I was like, yo, I love to fight that dude, CM Punk. I'd like be honored to fight for you, blah blah blah. Let's, you know, and I got I'll be
UFC
talent.
What did you do the guy you fought that day?
I beat him up in like 2-3 minutes.
Okay.
I cracked him, took him down, choked him out.
Okay.
And then I got the mic. Like I knew I was gonna win, so I was, you know. It was awesome.
By the way, did you see Lewis when did you see the fight?
I saw the fight.
I love when he was like, Ellis was next to him, and Lewis after the fight, Lewis was like, "Hey, take a break, Ellis. I'm gonna be talking for a while.
I'm gonna need a minute." Yeah,
like, just give me the fucking mic.
He kind of stunk on the mic after
he
two.
He's the real heroes. Fuck off, idiot.
We're heroes. Yeah, what are we, the fucking Marines?
Like, who the hell?
We play fight.
I like all the people like watching him too. All those fighters like, what? What are you doing?
Just trying to give respect.
I know. It's like
I appreciate it, but yeah, it was, oh, you know.
Such a toolbox.
Yeah, it's funny. But yeah, so I beat my guy. Then they I started to get attention. They started like, so actually, this is pretty crazy. That was in February. That was in the end of November.
Yeah.
So then it goes all through December. I don't hear a word. I sign releases in case they're gonna make something of that night. I don't hear shit. UFC doesn't contact me, doesn't talk to me once. I'm watching Robbie Lawler fight Carlos Condit, me and my dad watching, and they start playing a preview for Dana White looking for a fight. And all of a sudden, the majority of the preview is me
what?
Talking on the microphone, showing my highlights of my fight. I love to fight that guy, CM Punk, like all that shit. Like all, and we're like, what the fuck? I'm just watching the fights. Me and my dad are like, we're losing our mind. We're like recording the screen, we're rewinding and like recording it. No word.
Whoa. Without telling you this is coming?
Not telling me a thing.
What?
So then, and then we, I start like, I go on like Twitter and I start like talking a little shit to CM Punk, trying to like, to go with it, you know, drive, fuel the flames, fan the flames. And then, they give me an offer. They're like, all right, if you fight this dude, February 6th, if you beat him, you get to fight CM Punk. So I fought this dude, Mike Jackson. I beat him in 45 seconds.
Black guy?
Black guy.
Nice. Yep. For the whites, man.
Yeah,
way
bro.
To go.
For the whites. Yeah. But then, so I beat him 45 seconds, dropped him, choked him out. And then I got to fight CM Punk in September.
They made you wait forever for that Punk fight, didn't they?
Yeah. He had like a back surgery or something. So.
That's one. Okay. How much do you have to promote yourself in the UFC? I mean, you must have grown up on wrestling to a degree, right? Uh-huh. So how much of that is – the first one I ever remember was – I guess it was BJ – not BJ, George going like, please, Mr. Dana White, please give me a – you know?
Yeah.
It was the first time anyone that I remember like call – like give me a title shot or mm-hmm. give me a shot at somebody.
Yeah.
But now it seems far more common
yeah.
to like promote yourself.
It's like almost mandatory. Like, you saw that shit they're doing like Brock Lesnar in DC.
Uh-huh.
Like it's like – yeah.
So fake.
I think I brought that back a little bit too.
I think you did.
I think I. But like you know, Diaz was doing. He's like, "Where you at, George?" And Chael Sonnen was always doing his like little post fight things.
Great.
They were good at it. But now I think I've made it like mandatory, where it's like, "Oh, you gotta make some noise.
You gotta make people want to watch this fight."
Yeah, yeah. And it's your best shot. If you got a guy you want to fight, like now I'm trying to fight. Hopefully, when you release this, I'll be. Having a fight with Diego Sanchez.
Really?
Dude, yeah. So I called out this last one. And then after his fight, he said he'd do it. He's like, I'm like a Dave in this division. Mickey's like, that's a Goliath that I'll fight and I'll take out. And so now I got Diego Sanchez, winner of Ultimate Fighter 1, saying my name too.
That's crazy. Because he's also a name, but he's old.
Yeah. 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 I think he's a little chinny. I'll crush him.
Did I see him in Nashville? Did he get knocked out pretty fast?
I don't know. He lost to Matt Brown.
Yeah.
Matt Brown hit him with a nasty elbow, put him out.
I feel like he's been around fucking forever, Diego Sanchez.
The first Ultimate Fighter winner ever is him.
Wow. It wasn't...
Beat Nick Diaz, beat my boy Jim Miller. Like, he has, like, some big
It wasn't
wins.
That Forrest and what's his name?
Yeah, Forrest and Bonner. But he won... He was the fight before them. So he was the first winner, and then Forrest and Bonner had their
At
fight.
Different weight class, that's
yeah.
right. Okay, I remember that now.
Yeah, he won at 185.
Damn. That'd be a good fight too.
That'd be awesome. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to like punch up a little, because if I fight, like then after I beat CM Punk, I immediately called out Sage. Like, yeah. I called him corny. And I was like swearing and cursing
he,
on
he
it.
He also was their golden boy.
Oh, for sure. And he was like the UFC darling.
Mm-hmm, they're like, they want him to like move up. The same way Pride, was it Pride? No, it was that other organization in America when they had that American Gladiator chick who was real pretty.
Who's it? Carano?
Yeah, Gina Carano. Okay, and they didn't really want to feed her to anybody because they're like, we can market her. We'd
who
like her
was
to
that?
Be our champion.
That was an Elite XC. But who what? Strikeforce.
Yeah, and then what's her name? The fucking Cyborg would come in and like, this is going to be bad for our golden lady. Yeah.
No bueno.
Sage was like, they were like, man, if he could become a champion, that would really make us make a lot of money.
Yeah, for sure.
And you just like, nah, I'm going to put a dent in that.
Yeah, I was like, I figured they'd do it. I was hoping so. But I was like, I'm going to come at his throat. I went off. I was like talking shit on Twitter too. I was getting like thousands of retweets.
He could not keep up with that trash talk.
No. He tried talking shit during the fight too.
Really?
Yeah, it was adorable. It was adorable. It was really cute.
What did he say?
I was on top of him and he started to get out. I went for a guillotine and then he like got out of it and stood up and was like, I was like on my back, like come down here, bitch. And he was like, get up. He's like, get up. And then he's like, he cut my eye. I had a cut 3 weeks before the CM Punk fight. I got 21 stitches right here on my eyebrow.
Yeah, damn.
And yeah, I'll show you the picture. It's fucking nasty. It's on my Instagram too. Nasty, dude. Like filleted open, like bad.
Oh, luckily your fucking eyebrow covers it up a little
bit.
Right?
I know. It's you can split right down it. And then, so the doctor was like, before I fought CM Punk, doctor was like, dude, you can't fight for like 6 months. He's like,
until that heals up.
He's like, yeah. And this was 3 weeks before the biggest fight of my life. I was like, fuck that. I left the stitches in for 2 weeks, got it taken out fight week, and went there. And then I was afraid if like CM Punk hit me, they'd be like, yeah, you beat him, but look, he fucked up your face.
Yeah.
I look like an asshole if he.
Yeah, there's always that too, where you're like, I guess you won. Like, who's that guy who just fought? Was it Punk? No, some black dude fought, and Dana's like, you're out. He won, but he's like, you're out.
It was that guy Jackson who fought Punk, because he was like, he could have taken him out.
So
but
many
he was,
times.
But yeah, he was like showboating and like.
Milking it for stage time.
I wonder if he bet, like, I'm going to take this fight the whole way. And then, you know what I mean? That would have been a smart move. Then he could have.
I'm going to beat you for three
rounds. No one expected CM Punk to go the full 15.
My plan when I fight Sam, if he ever stops dodging me, is to get him in, like, an arm bar and then just let it go. Be like, nope, not good enough for me. And then take his back and then have it, like, nope. And then,
really?
Like,
just floss
what
on
I
him.
Want really is to be on top of him, full mount, like right underneath his armpits, and then do the thing where I get a loogie and then suck it back in.
No.
There's nowhere to go. You can only want to go down, but you can't go down.
That's so funny. That's awesome. Yeah. That was another thing when Ryan O'Neal and Lewis.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew, so I'd like rolled with Lewis like a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'd also known that you had submitted Ryan O'Neal, I'd heard. So I was like, I think I got Lewis for this fight.
I can't believe you picking Lewis. I was fooled, but that's me, Ryan, just doing jits.
Right.
And that's while I was training.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, it was sharp in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But he was training for, like, months for it. But
yeah,
I saw him.
I saw him at the yard a couple times.
O'Neal?
Out in L.A., yeah.
Dude, those leg kicks were garbage.
Yeah, I didn't see the full fight. I saw it mostly through Lewis's... Kim, his girl, her Instagram story. Oh. My sister showed me all those. Oh. I got to see the full fight, I think. But I saw a lot. Like, that was a lot of it.
He never threw a head kick, never threw any, just front kicks to the body, leg kicks to his left leg, I guess, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
He called me a dick afterwards. Like, you're a real cunt
sometimes, man.
He goes, I fucking survived a full ground and pound. I went full amateur fight, and I was like, why would you let. The only advantage Lewis has is to get on top of you. Why would you let him get full mount?
Why would you let him do that?
Yeah, I was like, you get like a girl, Gwendolyn.
Silly strategy to let him get that
silly
mount.
Silly strategy. I mean, like, all right, he's got your leg, but now you got to be thinking, let me at least get a half guard when I go down.
Yeah.
Full, he's just on him.
Yeah, I guess he was lacking in his jiu-jitsu department, as we saw from the Ari Shaffir submission over him.
You know, he bit me when I had him in a
really? Naked.
He fucking reached out and just started.
We could have used a little of that in the Gomez fight, O'Neal. Could have used a little aggression, man.
It was crazy unfair that he made him take his headgear off in a full mount.
What was that about?
It's like, well, not now.
Oh, now, but yeah, when he's right here, teed up to get punched in the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, how rewarding is it when you're on top of somebody and you just get to like punch down on them?
Oh, it's nice.
Like a ground and pound, where it's like they're really prone. They can't hit you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's nice.
It's like a rewarding feeling.
Oh,
right?
It's great. Yeah, you get him there and you get to, like, if you, especially if you get like that crucifix position. Uh-huh. You know that is where you got the arm and their arms between your legs. And you just,
so they can't even defend themselves.
Yeah, they're just like moving their head.
Like, that's how you're going to dodge this? Just head only?
I see you. Yeah.
That's one where you should look at the ref like, hey, it's over. You should just stop. There's no reason to. It's checkmate.
Yeah, it's a good checkmate. Yeah. Exactly.
We don't have to. You don't have to take my king. There's no way out.
Yeah.
You don't play the last two moves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that must be so fun. Can you hear boos and cheers while you're fighting?
Sometimes. Yeah, you can hear the crowd reaction.
You can.
Sometimes, yeah. I honestly, it's weird because you go in and out of like total tunnel vision. Uh-huh. Those coasters, man. it's like there's a lot of tunnel vision.
Yeah.
I won't even hear my corner for a little bit. And then sometimes there'll just be spots where I remember hearing my corner, or like I could see someone in the crowd where I'll just like make eye contact with them almost. If you're on top of someone, they're like pushing you, and you're just like, you know?
And you see like Chuck Liddell in the front, you're like, oh, look.
Yeah, like, oh shit, Iceman. Yeah, but it's just, you know.
Does the tunnel vision go down the more you fight?
I think so. I totally think so. I think you know, a big thing is you want to be like relaxed as possible, because if you're all tight and in there and like you're going to using too much muscle, you're going to get tired fast.
Use oxygen.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember playing basketball. It's not the same thing, but I switched schools in the same division, in the same like league.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started to chant, "We've got RA, yes we do. We've got RA, how about you?" when I played my old school.
Yeah.
And they're like, "Did you hear that?" I'm like, "I did not hear it." Like, we did it like three times.
And oh,
I
really?
Like, I didn't hear it. You're like, I was playing,
in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird how you just, that tunnel vision's like a real thing.
Yeah, there's a weird with the, like, the adrenaline, all that stuff. Like, I know sometimes, like, I'll get, like, hit, like, in a fight, and it's like, I don't even, like, it's not like I feel pain. I just see, like, it's like a video game, like, our ship's taking a little damage. Like, we've been, or, like, you almost see, like, a red flash, but it's like, it doesn't hurt. Like, a lot of that, like, the adrenaline is crazy.
Like in Call of Duty, when it's, like, goes red for a second.
Yeah,
and, like,
exactly.
You get winged, but that's it. You'll be back fine.
Yeah, it's very much like that.
Do you get ringing in your ears afterwards?
After getting hit?
After the fight. Do you get, like, are there, like, lasting, I guess, brain stuff?
I luckily haven't gotten, like, not to me. But yeah. I wonder. I bet people do. I've seen some bad fighters, people got fucked up. I'm sure they do. And I'm sure you're trying to mitigate that brain damage, but that's a big part of it, you know?
Do you, speaking of that, I guess, is that something you worry about?
Totally. Like, it's something I have to be aware of. Like, I know it's a hard truth of it. So I do like CBD.
Does that help you rejuvenate you?
Yeah, they say CBD is great for like any type of like, trauma, like inflammation from your there's even like a little like smokable CBD pen.
Mm-hmm.
That's good for you.
Oh yeah,
and that's why a lot of fighters, like most fighters, smoke pot, because you get CBD from pot, and that's good for your.
Is that allowed now?
You can do it out of competition. You're not supposed to do it like a week or two before the fight. Oh. Yeah. So if,
is it just because, like, they don't test you? I thought it used to be where, like, dude, it's out of your system in 2 weeks, so you go crazy before the fight. You just got to stop 2 weeks before.
That's it. Because they could, like, if they came and test me now, and if I had been, I could have been smoking pot right as they test me.
Yeah.
They're not testing for it out of competition.
So then they're just not even testing.
Not even testing for it. Just testing for, like, anabolic, like, steroids and stuff.
So you
like
come
that.
In here, hot box room, and they're like, we got to test you, and they're like, and they're just, like, not testing for that.
Yeah, they're not testing for that. They're like, oh, what do you guys smoke about? It's okay. It's not there.
I mean, when you think about it, I wonder what fighters think about this, but like drug use as opposed to steroid use,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't help you.
Not performance enhancing, really.
Yeah, so why do they even get involved with that shit?
I don't know. I think it's just, I don't know.
I mean, if you jaywalk, they're not going to fucking fine you and not let you fight.
I've heard some people say, like Jim Miller said with pot, he's like, I think it can be a performance enhancer. He's like, because I got like these kids, and if I could just smoke some pot at the end of the day, it would really help me relax and get to sleep maybe. Uh-huh. So maybe I could help my rest. But I can't drink herbal tea either, because that might relax me. It's like, where do we draw the line?
If there's no damage, then it's like, what's the difference between that and an aspirin?
Yeah, and if I want to do a little damage to myself, then I can't have a drink. I'm not allowed to drink either. Like,
Eddie Bravo said this once when they were still deciding whether it's medicinal. And he was like, you can't say it's a performance enhancing and it's not medicinal. You got to give us one or the other.
Right? True.
If it's performance enhancing, then it's also medicinal. And if it's not performance enhancing, fine.
I never heard that, but that makes total sense.
But it's like, you can't not have either one. It's both or none.
Yeah.
Good point, Eddie. Yeah, good point, Eddie. Points. You ever train with him?
Eddie Bravo? No.
You go to LA all the time. You never roll over there?
Nah, man. I train with, I go to Muscle Farm gym a lot. That's one of my sponsors too, who we were talking about before.
Muscle Milk?
Muscle Farm.
Oh, cool.
But I go there. I work with this guy, Jason Manley, who's like a beast out there. Yeah, it's Joe Schilling, all those dudes.
Do you try to get different people, like different techniques and stuff from different, like, you know, trainers and coaches and stuff?
Yeah, that's so that's why I go to LA. Like, I wish I could do everything in Jersey, you know. But I'm like the big dog at my gym. Like, I'm kind of the top guy there.
You won't be learning much anymore, though.
Exactly. I need to get a good push. So I go out and I'm training, you know, like Joe Schilling, Eve Edwards, like, and then a bunch of UFC guys I'm mixing up with. That you get a different, like, the high level speed guys are like, Schilling is the best kickboxer, American kickboxer ever. So if I'm doing kickboxing with him, how am I going to not get better? I'm sparring with him several times a week. It's going to get me better.
It's amazing that if you go with anybody, in any like thing, focus, where if you go with somebody not way better than you, but like slightly better than you, then you can like push yourself to try to match them.
Yeah.
If you go one-on-one with LeBron, you learn nothing.
Yeah.
But if you go one-on-one with someone who's just a little better, you're like, it pushes you. I went skiing with O'Neal and he's better than me. And suddenly now I'm skiing through the woods. I'm like, fuck it. I'm going for it.
Makes you get out of your and elevate yourself a little bit. Yeah. Call that getting like the rub.
What?
They call that getting the rub. You get a little rub, like almost like a little rub from
of
someone.
Their greatness.
Of their, yeah, exactly.
Oh, cool. Why don't you want to train that high guard with Eddie?
I'm not against it. I'm focusing more on striking right now. My jiu-jitsu is very good. And I do like some of that rubber guard stuff. My game's a little different.
Yeah.
I'm a little more old school Gracie jiu-jitsu down there. But I fuck with Eddie Bravo. Yeah. I like that crew.
Yeah, I've heard some fighter was like saying, was it, maybe it was that guy who got that twister and proposition, that Asian guy. But he was
Green
like,
Zombie?
Yeah, maybe. Because I just watch his videos.
Really?
That's how he got it. He just watched Eddie's videos.
I'm like, that's
what?
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And they hit it in the highest levels?
Yeah.
Fuck. What happened? Bleeding? You're bleeding.
Talking to a UFC fighter and I'm bleeding. I can't imagine any weakness. Hey, do you guys worry about cauliflower ear? You got one in one. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a halfie.
Yeah, so
you like those wolf dogs.
Yeah, right. This one, so I got, this is my bad one. I got that like when I was like in college.
Yeah.
And I was still trained all the time. I went to Rutgers and then I would shoot up
Golden Knights? What?
Close, Scarlet Knights.
Scarlet Knights.
Pretty good. Yeah, pretty good. So I do practice two times a day when I was there. Like I picked to go to like a school there so I could do all my training. Like I was already in the MMA shit when I was.
You fired the wrestling team?
I didn't. I only wrestled my senior year. Actually.
Oh really?
Yeah, I played football my whole life. I was like counting my football team. If I could do it again, I would have wrestled my whole life.
Oh, dude, you must have brain damage then.
No way. I got a hard head, bro.
It's coming for you, though, right?
I mean, I don't know.
Do you have a number of like, I'll get out when it hits this?
I've never been like knocked out or anything before, but if that starts happening regularly, then I'll definitely have to be like, yeah, fuck, can't be doing that. I've never had like headaches or ever had anything. No, not at all.
That's what I've heard from people. Not the ring. They've had headaches for like a month afterwards.
I know guys who've had headaches or they're forgetting shit or they're like sick. Like I've seen people who get knocked out.
Yeah.
Right. I've seen them ask me the same question, like immediately after the fight, like within like the first like 30 minutes, ask me the same question 6 times.
Damn.
And I'm like, are you fucking with me? The first time it happened, it was like one of my best friends, my boy Rich. He fought for Bellator and he got KO'd, put out. He did like a crazy weight cut. And that's the thing with weight cuts. If you're in the sauna, it takes like fluid out of your brain. And then you're going to get hit the next day.
So there's no Owens Corning. There's no fucking siding in between the brain and the fucking skull.
Yes, exactly. So you're compromised going in there.
Whoa.
So he got put to sleep, and I'm telling you, from the back room to the ambulance to the time we got to the hospital, he asked me about 10 times where his phone was. Do you know where my phone is? And like, Jamie's got it.
Damn.
Like 1 minute later. He goes, I got knocked out in the first minute, huh? I was like, no, man. It was like the last like 10 seconds actually of the round. 2 minutes later, you know where my phone is? I got knocked out in the first minute. Damn. I was like, no, dude. That's no. You just asked me that, though. But
and also, you were there. It wasn't like we told you about a fight. You were in it.
But just total, I guess you just, you forget.
Don't you find that scary that you're opening yourself up to that situation?
Yeah.
You're entering into a place where that could happen to you.
100%. But I can't think of any other way I'd rather spend my 20s and 30s. I can't think of any other way. I fucking love it. I love training. I love getting, I get to get up, go hang out with my boys. We get to go fucking learn kill moves, practice our shit with each other. No other thing I'd rather do. Not that I could think of.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit, about the camaraderie of a camp or a school, or you know.
Yeah, that's big, because even though it is an individual sport, you can't like get good on your own. You got to go with other people. You got to train and like test your shit against their shit, and then you know all that. So like, I actually have 5 guys who are fighting next Saturday.
And 5
I'm,
friends.
I'm cornering all 5 of them. Yeah.
Where are they fighting?
In Sherman Theater in Easton, was it Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania?
This will already have happened, I guess.
Yeah, this will already have happened. Yeah, but
wow, that's cool.
Yeah, that's fucking. You've seen like fights of people that you know, right?
Mm-hmm.
So intense.
It's way intense.
It's like there's no sport. I think there's no really. I don't want to say experience, but like there's almost no like experience or like sport like that where it's so intense. You're watching your boy. Everyone knows what fighting is. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows. You know, football. You might be like, wait, why did that just happen? Basketball, wait, why'd they stop? Football, okay, they get more downs now, but like you punch a dude in the face, get on top of him and punch him in the face some more.
You know when the fight's over, when you know? Somebody's quit or it's just knocked out. Yeah.
Yeah. So dude, it's crazy. I'm super excited for that.
So hard. But also on the flip side,
I'll be hoarse the next day for
when
sure.
When they get beat, it's like, fuck.
Highest highs, lowest lows.
Yeah.
Lowest lows, like, what are you going to do? It's you, one other guy, and a ref in there, and fucking go.
And you can't be like, well, it's cheap because, like, no, man.
Nah, you know what it happened? Is.
What
happened?
Was the bad weather? What are you talking about?
What? Yeah. Yeah, I've had like, and you don't always feel your best. You got to hope when that time comes that you feel great and ready to fight. Because if you don't, fuck you. You got to go. It's time to go.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let me ask you this. Mm. I'll start with the good. Okay, wait. Let me back up, actually.
Sure.
When did you start training? How old were you?
I started like really training, like to be a, like,
no, I mean first anything.
I did some boxing,
class.
When I was like 13. Yeah. I used to get up like early Saturday mornings. I played all the sports growing up.
Okay.
Football, baseball, basketball, all that.
Yeah.
I was really good at football, but
when
then
you say football, baseball, basketball, all that just means exactly what you just said.
Yeah. A little intramural soccer here and there, know what I'm saying? Yeah. But yeah.
Dude, we used to play in college intramural soccer, and instead of water bottles full of water, we would just have it full of I think Boone's Farm.
What was Boone's Farm?
It was that sweet wine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Wait, we would just get drunk and play soccer. It was so fun. Slide tackles would go way up.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. That's wouldn't fun. Hit any of them, but it's just fun.
Hell yeah. I did a little boxing when I was 13. But then when I was like 16, I was a sophomore in high school. I became like a fan of the UFC, and I was like, I bet I could fucking do that. Like, I bet I'd be good at that.
Who were your big guys you were following back then?
Jim Miller, Dan Miller, and like Chuck Liddell.
Chuck was still fighting.
But yeah, Jim and Dan were training in Jersey, so I went and trained with them.
You did?
Yeah. Yeah.
Isn't that the craziest thing that you have access to just roll with? I mean,
yeah.
The top level people.
Mm-hmm.
That if you just show up, you can just be like, especially during drills where they keep switching you.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd have to I'm not going to just be training with, and like, unless it's like a friend of mine or something, like anyone, any new guy probably.
Yeah.
Cause you know, now I'm a little more valuable. And like Jim and Dan, when I started, they were like more valuable, you know, they're in the pro class. So they would do like the pro, but you know, once you develop some skill, you could absolutely, started to get good, I was an asset for them. So I would train with them.
Push them a little.
Yeah.
Krokop came to train at while he was fighting at Bomb Squad once, or Eddie's gym.
Okay.
10th Planet.
Yeah.
And I mean, I wasn't allowed to go with him, but like the other people that I went with were like, can I get next with you?
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, sure.
Yeah. If you hop in like a jiu-jitsu class, yeah, whoever, even if it's just like, you know, just like a layman or like anyone who's like a hobbyist.
Because the drills are...
I roll with hobbyists today.
Really? Yeah, the drills are, you're on top, I'm on top, switch. Mm-hmm. You're on top, I'm on top, switch. And then you just, oh, you're next, you're close to me.
Yeah. And the hobbyists, they give you just as good work.
Yeah.
They're like, wow, it's cool you come down here. I'm like, you kidding? You just help me out a lot. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah. Okay, so then you start training jits, or yep. wrestling at 16?
I did jiu-jitsu, Gracie, New Jersey, in Clinton, New Jersey, which is like out west a little bit. I started doing that when I was 16, and then by the time I was 19, I was training at like AMA Fight Club.
Yeah.
Sorry, gross.
It's all good. I was training at AMA Fight Club with like, that's where like Jim and Dan were at the time.
Okay. And then at what point do you start thinking professional?
I started doing jiu-jitsu thinking like, I bet I could like do this.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I was always good at football, but I always felt like being held back a little bit here.
What do you mean?
Like I feel like I could go over and throw anyone down. Like I like to hit, I like to like, you know, but then it's like, then the play's over. So I feel like fighting like that, like I, you know, I didn't fight much. I wasn't like a big fighter. I get in like only like a couple, like
growing
up. Oh,
real fights, man.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I always like, I kind of enjoyed it. And I like, you know, I thought it was like, it's just like the ultimate sport. It's the ultimate kind of physical expression.
Yeah. You know, they call it the ultimate fighting championship. Well,
I've heard.
So, you're wearing your free
with
stuff
my flip
shoes.
Flops, right?
Yeah.
All my
dude,
shoes.
The swag you must
get. Is that
get,
what that stands
great.
For?
I thought it was UFC. So it's what? And how long till you got your first professional fight? How old were you then?
So, 22.
So a 6-year run of like, I think I want to do this and can do it until you actually do
plan,
it.
And planning on doing it. And like, I wanted to get myself, you know, make sure I was good.
Did you have amateur fights before that?
I did. That's when I had my first amateur fight.
Dana saw?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I had like...
Oh, 22 was your first amateur fight.
Yeah, and then my first pro fight was, I was 23.
So let's just say the amateur fight, because you go just as hard, right?
Yeah.
6-year run of when you're like, I think I can do this, to when you actually like get a real legit, there's a ref there, fight. What's the feeling afterwards when you won?
Yes. Yeah, I won all my amateur fights.
What's the feeling of that first fight?
It's amazing. It's like they say it's better than anything you could sniff, snort, or smoke. Like the high.
Well, I'll test that.
I'd say it's also an enormous relief. Because I'm thinking of this motherfucker every day. I go to sleep, I'm thinking about this dude I'm about to fight every day. I'm thinking about him. And now I get in there and like it all kind of at the end, it all kind of seems very sudden. It's like, oh, today's the day I've been thinking about for months. And then you get there and then, once you get that win, they tap out or whatever, you know.
They raise your hand. How'd you win your first fight?
A decision.
Decision.
And I've won every single one by submission since.
Close decision or what?
Nah, no, I whooped them. It was in Pennsylvania and it was just 2-minute rounds.
Yeah.
Right. So it's like it was short.
Did it hit you when they're raising your hand? Like, I just want to fight. Could you step back from it at all mentally? Or
yeah, it was nice because then I was like, I've been training this shit for 6 years, but now I feel like I'm a fighter.
The one time I saw it hit somebody was Joe Lozon, he fought in Boston at the Garden.
Okay.
And he won, and then they're like, "All right, you're done." And then they wait 5 minutes for the next fight, and he's like, he walks out of the octagon and kind of stands, and he just looks up at the stands. And kind of like turns all the way around, like this is where he saw the Celtics,
it in.
You know. And he's
in
the middle, and he's just like, you just see it hit him.
Yeah,
you know, where he like took the time to pause and let it go in, and I'm like, oh wow, that must be great for you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, and so then, hold on, I gotta piss, but I want to ask.
Cool, I'm gonna grab another one of those root beers.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Hold on. How do I do this? Pause. All right, let's get back. All right, so now. That's what a win feels like. Did your first professional win feel about the same?
Yeah, that felt good, you know, because now I would say, yeah, very much so. Because when I had my first amateur fight, I was like, all right, now I'm a fighter. Like I've been training fighting, but now I'm a fighter. I did it. I went, because it's different in the cage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like it's probably but probably like to you, you could be like holding court in a room with your friends, talking shit, making everyone laugh. But then when you go on stage and are center present,
absolutely
different
way
world,
different.
Right?
Way different.
Different emotions, adrenaline, different feelings, like
different
all
rules.
That. Yeah,
it's just like
everything. Yeah. It's different. So then doing that and seeing like, ooh, I like this. I like this too. Like I like the walking out there, hearing what like it's crazy. Like I was the first time I ever like fought in front of my parents. Like if I ever got in a fight in my life, I was in front of my parents. You know,
yeah, they would have separated you. They would have grabbed you by the ear, your one good ear, pulled you out of there. Not that fucking
right. We forgot about that. But yeah,
different.
This one I fucked up and didn't drain right. So I had my I got it drained a couple times. Yeah, you could Google my shitty ear if you guys want to see. But I got a drain like once by like an ear, nose, and throat doctor.
That's what you're supposed to do? Drain it?
Yeah, you drain it. You should Google that. You can see some pictures where it'll be like a big old one.
Yeah.
And they suck like a big vial of blood out. Yeah. But this one, I was stupid. I kept training. I kept getting hit in it. And then I went home and I had like some of the needles and I had my stupid college buddies. So I was like, yo, so look, you got to put it in here. I told them how to do it. They were basically just stabbed me in the ear a few times. The only blood that came out was just a stab wound.
Yeah.
Like they didn't do a good job. But this one, I got drained like correctly.
That one
like,
looks
so
normal.
So like right here, you could feel it's hard.
There's a touch of it in there.
Yeah.
Oh, that, yeah, so yeah,
that
part. Hard.
But like this whole thing is like that.
Ew, can I touch that? What? That feels like Play-Doh.
Yeah, it's like
cold Play-Doh.
Cold Play-Doh, yeah. So the cartilage breaks, blood fills up, and then the blood calcifies.
And you can't let it calcify.
Yeah, so you got to get it before it calcifies.
Do you have to train your neck to make yourself stay even? Otherwise, you'd flip-flop over with the one heart.
Is that heavy? Yeah. Well, actually, check this out. So if you look at my ears, doesn't like this one stick out a little more than this one?
Yeah, the color.
I slept with a headband every night when this one was going, like, was like very like active.
Yeah.
I figured to like, because it's kind of like, it's kind of malleable at that time. You could kind of, so my name's Mickey. I didn't want to have a Mickey Mouse ear. You know, like a lot of people stick out like this.
Double. Yeah.
You know, like my jiu-jitsu coach, his ears like are out like this. I didn't want that. So I slept with a headband, kept up.
And that worked.
I trained it closer to my head. Yeah.
Wow.
I guess it did.
Wow. Yeah.
Came up with that on my own.
Is there, John Fitch, he said he took a lot of heat for this, for saying this, but he said that until you get, and you've only had one fight outside the UFC, I guess, but he said until you get to the UFC, you don't understand how the lights are different in the UFC versus other organizations. He goes, at some level, a fight's a fight, but it's just different there.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe.
You don't really have the experience outside the octagon.
I love it. I love that. I remember like walking out and being like, yo. But at the end of the day, I can also just know it's just me and this other motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
I just got to beat up one. So I came up doing jiu-jitsu tournaments.
You did?
Yeah, I did a lot of jiu-jitsu tournaments. I probably had like about like 100 matches or so.
You think that's your strongest part of your game?
Probably. I could crack. Like, I like to hit, and I can't wait to knock a motherfucker out. Like I saw, this last fight, I was like, I hit myself in the back, but more. It only went 69 seconds, but I was like, hit myself in the back. I punched myself more than I got hit in the fight. Like I was ready. Like I thought we were gonna like have like a good stand up like war.
Yeah.
But he was backing up, and I just took what came. Just like instincts.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this now. I guess you don't have the outside experience, but you said what winning is like. How long is a fight camp?
6 to 8 weeks typically.
6 to 8 weeks. So a month and a half to 2 months that you're training for a specific person.
Yep.
And forget about training the whole year, which you pretty much are.
Mm-hmm.
But 6 to 8 weeks with this guy, you're focused on this guy.
Yes, yeah.
You've lost now.
Yeah.
What is that feeling like?
That was the worst. And especially like, so for that one, like I was just confident as I was for any of my other ones.
Uh-huh.
But when I felt off that day. And when I was in the back room, I like had to take a shit.
Did you take it?
I couldn't. I was my whole warm up. I spent like trying to take a shit. I was talking about it. Yeah. But, when it was time for me to go, I knew I was fighting at 8. I was kicking off the Fox Sports 1 portion of the card.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking at the clock and I almost wanted to be like, hey guys, can I get like an hour? Can you just give me like an extra hour? I'll go at 9. Give me an hour. You know what I mean? It's like, you got to go. Time to go. And then, I just had an off night. That's the thing I was saying before, where you got to hope everything falls into place properly. Because if one thing's off, even though you're just fighting for 15 minutes, you know what I mean? Like you, 15
minutes
is a long time to fight.
Yeah, what if you have
diarrhea? People shit in the cage. Yoel Romero shit in the cage. That chick just did it like a year or two ago.
Oh, it's so gross.
Right?
You see long distance runners doing it too, or throwing up and then keep running.
Yeah.
I guess you couldn't run and shit. Maybe you can, but I've seen them like throw up and then keep going. You're like, what?
Yeah.
So then you're standing there. You lost by decision, right?
Yeah.
You're standing there next to a guy who clearly beat you.
Mm-hmm.
What sinks into your brain at that point?
I don't know. You're still like, you still have like a little bit of like that. It's like frustration. Like speaking of the tunnel vision.
Yeah.
I think a lot of like in that fight, like I was, Like I kept thinking, oh, this dumb motherfucker, he's on the ground with me. Like you were saying before, like it's jujitsu, like my strong. I knew I was like, oh, he's stupid enough to go to the ground with me. I'm gonna get him with something. I kept trying. And then a couple moves I tried weren't working.
Yeah.
But instead of thinking, all right, push out, get back to your feet and do something else, I was like, nah, I'm gonna get you. So I was almost like a little overconfident. Maybe I had a little conceit in my jujitsu. And yeah. You learn. So if you don't, that's a big thing though. Is if you don't win, you like learn. I learned so much more. You learn so much more from a loss.
Dude, that's how it is with stand up. You learn from bombing way more than you do from killing. Killing is like a nice victory lap, but you don't grow from it at all. I mean, no, maybe a little where you know how to like guide the.
Yeah,
the
that
kill,
was good when
like,
I did. Yeah.
But yeah, the bombing is like, oh, I know.
You
want to
go outside? It's kind of hot in here.
Yeah, sure.
You know? Get a little
absolutely.
Of that. Cool. Sweet.
Grab
your beer.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, take that one.
Throw them in there.
Zeros.
Oh, this is fucking nice.
Isn't it nice out here? Fucking wait.
Hell yeah. Ari Shaffir, killing it.
Dude, this is the best thing. This is the best thing. I told my agent, because we did like a special, and he was like, man, your life. Because I'm like, dude, more money won't change my life at all. And then I got to this apartment from another, like, shitty small two stories up New York apartment, and I was like, no, it's nicer, but that's about as far as I need. This is great.
How many people have this in the city? Right,
not many.
I don't think so. You got a great spot.
Thank you, I appreciate it. We're gonna have a barbecue on Monday, I think.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it's
Monday. Anything special?
Anything. No, just like weekdays, we're comics, we're doing nothing, so it's like, let's fucking grill out,
eat some food, have a good time.
Sam Merle just had a special, so it was an Amy Schumer Presents.
Okay.
Which is cool of her to like her, him
present
and Mark them. Norman to like, they wouldn't let these white dudes, unknown-ish white dudes get one. But
yeah,
she's
I
like,
saw Mark Norman's
name on it.
So yeah, she puts her name on it, gives him the seal. And then they're like,
okay, we can use that to market it. So fine. So I'm going to do it. Amy Schumer presents Sam Morril's barbecue. Because I know they all sort of hate that it'll just
they
get
hate
their own
that
special.
It's, it's an Amy Schumer. That's funny.
Like that's the first thing that comes up in the preview is Amy Schumer presents, and then you see Sam come on and film.
Yeah.
So, what about that night afterwards, after a loss?
That sucked. So every time you have like an after party too.
Oh yeah.
But I went to my after party and I had to look at all of my friends and family who just saw me like not do what I did. Every other time I make it look easy, and I start someone quick. Now I gotta like shake hands, and the whole time I'm just like, I don't want to fucking be here. You want to like go in a hole.
And you know they think, in the back
thinking,
of your
they're
head,
like,
you're
they're
a loser. Doesn't that cross your mind when I bomb and I see people afterwards like, oh, wasn't that bad?
No,
like,
because they're being nice. Yeah. They're being nice, and that's like worse. It's like it's almost better. If they're like, fuck, man. Sorry, bro. Like they're all like, hey. And you're like, but they people like act different after
they
like a loss.
Different.
They act a little different. Yeah, they're like,
how?
Hey, you know what I mean? It's just different.
There's a line we saw once leaving the Comedy Store going to Carney's, and somebody passed us on the way back, and I hadn't done well. Maybe my friend, but probably me. And the guy goes, and he accentuated the eye. He goes, I thought you did good. It's like,
not everyone else.
We all know it didn't go well, but I personally,
me,
I
like
ugh.
It. Yeah, it hurts.
Yeah, it's nice when they just, I don't, how do you lay out when your friend's like, man, you really fucked that one up, huh? Is that one better?
I guess so. Like, but like, I don't even know. I don't know. There's really nothing anyone's going to say. You know what it is. You know that it's like, yeah, wasn't the best me there. I didn't have my best 15 minutes.
I was leaving a guest set once in South Carolina, the Coconut Sump Club, and it was like 2 years in. Sucked, you know, and I bombed. And then I was with my friends in Myrtle Beach. That's where it was. And we were leaving. I had to wait for the end of the show. I couldn't sit with them. I was so fucking, it's just taking an L. When they were driving away, and we're in the light next to these girls. It's spring break, Myrtle Beach, you know, and they're like flirting with us, but through the closed windows. And they're like selling something, you know. And my friend's like, what do you think they're saying? And my other friend's like, they're probably saying, oh, there's that guy who wasn't funny. And at least it was
attention
released.
That's a good friend. That's
I know,
that's
exactly.
A good friend. That's
like, let's not dance around it anymore.
Yeah. No, yeah. Exactly.
It hurt, but it was like,
nice.
This is better for me.
Yeah.
Does that drive you now to like not have to face that feeling again?
Dude, I knew before that. I was like, bro, I don't want to get my ass kicked on TV ever.
Yeah.
I don't want to lose. I don't want to, you know, but it's part of the game too. Knowing who, how many undefeated records do you see?
I'll probably lose again,
but I don't plan on doing it anytime soon. I'm going to do everything I fucking can until then and to make sure that that doesn't happen.
Do you, okay. Do you have, like, I mean, I know the answer is yes. Do you think about eventually winning a title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I match up really well with Tyron Woodley, too.
That guy's tough.
Yeah, he's like this tall, right?
But do you... Oh, really?
Yeah, and you see his fight with Rory McDonald?
Uh-uh.
Rory McDonald. That's
the last one.
I've trained with Rory a few times. Rory whooped his ass. Beat him with a jab.
Is that what Connor took it from Rory?
Connor took what?
Tyrone's title.
No,
Tyrone lose and then...
So Rory beat Tyrone before he was a champ.
Oh, oh.
Tyrone beat Robbie Lawler.
Yeah.
Robbie Lawler was a champ. And then Tyrone took it. And then Connor took...
Who did he take
it? Eddie Alvarez.
Eddie Alvarez just caught Tyrone.
Huh?
Eddie Alvarez caught Tyrone.
Eddie Alvarez and Tyrone didn't fight. That's two different weight classes.
Oh.
Tyrone's 170. Tyrone's still the champion. He just fought last weekend.
Yeah. Who did... Oh, he didn't take it at 70. 45 and 55.
45 and 55.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He was going to come up to 170. He's like, oh, I can't beat this guy. He's way bigger than me.
Yeah. I guess so.
Tyrone's like,
I guess.
Crazy.
I don't know. What do you think about his Khabib fight?
Khabib's going to destroy him.
That's what I think, too. I think still he's a terrible matchup.
Even though every time I've said Conor's overrated, he's then beaten an amazing guy.
He's got a great left hand. But, and it, you know, facts are you hit anyone in the chin in the right spot, they go to sleep. Human body, it'll shut off.
Were you watching
Aldo
fight?
If I'm sitting here looking this way, you chin check me, I could go out. You
dude,
know,
I'm not
you know
going to
do
that. I know you're offering
you
me
promise?
To do that, but I'm not going to do that.
It makes me feel a lot. I'll enjoy the backyard view now.
Dude, the UFC fighters, are they too serious sometimes? Are they all about respect?
Like, I feel like a lot of them are like just big kids.
Meaning what?
Like we're people who don't want to have a job and we're athletic enough to be able to... I think there's you get such a mixed bag. You get some thugs, you get some like nerds.
Uh huh.
Like you get just a mixed bag.
That's fair.
You get like you know like kind of like poor kids.
Yeah.
You get a bunch of like you know, there's also people who have money. You know.
Oh really?
Yeah. It's just a mixed bag.
Do you guys all hang out with each other when you're on the road at a fight?
For the most part, when you're on the with the fight, you have like your team that you pretty much are with.
Okay.
And if like, so like, typically I'm just the only one from my team fighting. Like when I was doing regional fights, I'd have like how I said I have friends who have five guys fighting that night.
Yeah.
We'll all be in the hotels together, popping room to room, you know, talking, which is it's a great time too, because like it's nice getting away, getting in the hotel, and like getting in that fight mode.
Just thinking about it, talking about it.
Yeah, thinking about the fight. You're with your team. You're like, you're ready to go to war. It gets you like really ready for that.
Yeah,
so it is
like
a crazy
a comedy
thing.
Festival a little bit. Where it's like we're all out doing this together.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the crazy thing?
Just the sitting there and you got to go fight someone in front of a bunch of people the next day.
Yeah.
Like I'm aware that it's a crazy thing. You know
are.
What I mean? Yeah, yeah, for sure. But I love it.
Does it become like half normalized and half still whoa?
Totally. And like when I was like young, doing jiu-jitsu was almost like a. It was almost like therapy for me. I'd get in there and I'd work out and I'd be focused on this for a while and I drive home so like all my problems going away. I have to think about anything. But now my therapy is my work.
What do you mean?
Too. This is my job.
Oh
fighting.
Yeah.
When it used to just be like something I really like to do. Now it's like it's something I like to do, but it's also my job.
And so you have to do it in a certain way.
Yeah.
We were talking about this recently about stand up where it was my Steve Simone, where it was like in the beginning, he was like, that was fun. That was cool. And it's like, yeah. Oh, I got too drunk. Okay, shouldn't do that again. But like, whatever. But now it's like, this is my job. They're paying me to be here.
Yeah.
I got to take a nap after radio to make sure
gotta
I'm at my
serious.
Best. Yeah. Yeah. And it kind of like the fun doesn't go away, but some of it goes away.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. Anyway.
But that's interesting because it's not like being a doctor is my fun hobby.
Right.
But like our hobbies are also our jobs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like what we like. So it's a good problem to have, I think.
My girlfriend's you know? Friends asked me like where when I said I was somewhere, like were you working or just play? I'm like, I guess just that was no work. There's no working.
Yeah.
It's not
yeah.
a thing. But I mean I wasn't doing gigs.
Yeah.
What is okay, I will say it like this. I have been, my friend was a professional bowler. Top 15 in the world at some point, and he made 33 grand that year.
Oof.
Yeah, it's not a high money thing.
Yeah.
So I went to some professional bowling matches. There is a groupie at professional bowling matches.
They have a name for that?
I don't know what it is, if they do. What would it be?
Pin up?
Yeah,
bowler,
something like that.
Bowling bitch? No, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's where you come in. I'm not the...
Oh, good point. You're like,
Why am I doing this?
Oh, you're the creative one. Oh, yeah, fuck. What is the groupie situation for mixed martial arts and fighting?
So, Instagram, you gotta... So, honestly, I'd say my groupies are mostly men.
True,
they're not looking...
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's like, I'll get recognized, like... depending if I'm, like, out and about, I'll get recognized, like, almost every day. Probably, like, you know, similar to you,
yeah.
Right? Always by dudes. Every time. Dudes, 100%. Mm-hmm. 100%. But, I mean, groupies and, like, chicks, yeah, there's, like, a lot of, you know, chicks want us fighter dudes.
Like, the example
of an
alpha male.
You get naked pictures on Instagram and stuff like that. And
you do. Yeah. Instagram, DMs on Instagram changed.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
I can't check mine anymore. I gave it to somebody.
Yeah,
I check for me because I'm like, I'll just be on there all the time looking for DMs.
Yeah,
so now
keep it in check. Keep it.
Are they there waiting after like fights and stuff? They are. I know they are. I've seen them.
You could probably find them at bars, but I've had my chick, so yeah. I don't go looking for them.
But you see them there looking. Let me ask: Are there any there looking for any of you? You know what I mean?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Like, there's 22 fighters this week.
Oh, like, I'm
a
9. One of these fighters on
I'm going to fuck one of them. Any of them will do.
I don't know. If they're out there, they should make themselves known more. They're not doing a good job. I don't know, man. Yeah, yeah, I don't see them at the fight so much. But I'm there with, like, my people and my family. It's if someone's coming up to, like, take a picture or something, that's one thing. But, like, I haven't had anyone, like, really, any chick, like, trying to, like, throw it at me after fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's mostly dudes. Mostly dudes throwing it at you.
Dude, you ever go out there to like the regular part of the stadium after you fought?
No.
Like to go get a hot dog or something?
No, I go before though, always. I go in the cage either the day before or earlier that day to just go out, look around, normalize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll go in there, I'll do a little workout. We'll like shuttle over there, drive over. Just to, you know, it's not the first time I'm going in is when it's all on the line.
Yeah, that's smart. I used to go in there ahead of time to hide drugs.
I've heard about those.
Yeah, that was good.
Bro, I was at your show in Brooklyn last year.
Yeah.
And I was watching everyone, like, looking around, like, pulling couch cushions.
Oh, that was the
Bell
House show?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I hit stuff.
Yeah, they were all looking around, like do you see anything over here? Do you mind if I check? Everyone. There was, like literally, like, 10 people in the lobby, like, looking around. It was really funny.
It's the small percentage of my followers who follow me hard enough to know that
they wanted that edible.
Some, and they're all going for it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They wanted that. It was that prize jewel.
Yeah.
They wanted it.
The staff ahead of time was, you know, I got there at 5 p.m. for an 8 o'clock show. Like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm hiding drugs. You guys don't fuck it up. And I'm like, okay. I just think it's funny, and they're like, "Go
drugs.
For it."
What do you mean?
Yeah, or like, you don't got to worry about it. Don't worry about what I'm doing. Wait, there was something I was going to ask you now, but I forgot what it was. I had a bunch of questions. Let me think if I remember. I got to get my notebook.
Oh, I got to grab another beer, root beer. So
I'll grab you one. Let me pause it. All right. Well, I'm just going to shift around to different things.
Cool.
For drug use, for you, I heard a story once. I'm going to pause while I say the name. Of this one guy.
Nice.
The story was somebody walked in a room and it's just tons of blow and like two naked chicks. And this other fighter was like, what? And he goes, you're in or you're out. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm in. Let's do it. But like that idea that just hard drugs are just a part of it.
I'd say yes, for the most part. You see, there's definitely squares and there's definitely like, I'm mm-hmm. just an athlete and I'm here to just, I run 5 miles at 5 minutes miles every day, and yeah. You know, but there's also like a lot of us are like, you know, the gunslingers or like, yeah, let's have a couple beers and like, you know, scrappers, like there's a lot of that too.
Donald is like that. Cowboy,
exactly. Great example.
By the way,
what
a gigantic difference in name between cowboy and Donald,
right? Yeah,
what a great idea.
The cowboy. Yeah. Cowboy, he's hilarious.
He is funny.
He's a cowboy. That's it. Like a gunslinger. A cowboy. Yeah. Exactly. There's those types. And then there's like dude's like this dude Gregor Gillespie, who's like super like I just know he likes to fish and he runs and he wrestled anyone in the world. He's a guy who like I think is gonna be like a champ soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's from New York. New York dude.
That's cool. So it's out.
But
there.
He's not a guy I see. But yeah. Yeah.
But there's some people who are just fucking going nuts.
Sure.
Don't say names, obviously.
For sure.
But like
yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
Yeah.
I heard Earthquake say this once about in an interview. This comic Earthquake. Do you know him?
No. Big Fat Black
funny.
Guy, though?
Big Fat Black Guy, yeah.
Okay. I could assume.
Yeah, you can guess that. There was a comic named Smokes on a comedy improv, DC improv lineup. And I was like, hey, can I get that week to feature with this guy? He goes, oh, Smokes is already on. I'm like, is Smokes with an X, I'm guessing? And the guy was like, two X's, you're wrong.
Whoa.
I was like, okay. Not S-M-O-K-E-S. All right, way off. What was I just going to say?
You're asking about the drugs.
Oh, yeah. And so they asked Earthquake, like, do you ever drink on stage? And he goes, it's stand-up comedy is one of the few jobs where you are afforded the right to drink alcohol while you're at work. And
right.
I take advantage of that right.
Nice.
And they go, does it ever make you worse on stage? He goes, absolutely it does sometimes.
True. And that's the same thing. I like to have some beers.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, yeah, it's probably not – some days I might not wake up the best. I'm not big. Like, I don't do – I'll be straight up. Like I've never done coke. I've never done like
yeah.
you know like a lot of shit. I'm pretty like you know, but I like to have a good time too.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, you gotta have fun.
You gotta enjoy.
That's the thing. People
what are we doing all this for?
Say to me, and the same thing they're saying to you, where it's like, you gotta do this hard for a while, but it's like, but I'm young now.
Yeah.
Why do I gotta give up my fun when I can actually have the fun for making a better 70-year-old life for myself?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Or it's like,
yeah.
This is the time to enjoy it.
For sure.
When you actually can move your joints.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to have a nicer walker.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's why, like, I'll just, when it comes time to fight, I'll sacrifice for a month. And boy, does that make eating all the shit and drinking all the shit and, you know, having all the good time after. I'll be a monk for like a month. And then after the fight's over, we're drinking beer and we're
You're
eating and I'm eating
then.
Burgers and I'm all the shit that I was thinking about every night when I'm eating my salmon and, you know, asparagus.
And you finally
vegetables.
Get to go fucking nuts.
Exactly. I've been going nuts for the last month.
You're
just
still like
time.
An athlete. You're still training all the time.
Yeah.
So then what do you eat? Like a normal person?
I mean, I'm as the Italians say, a gavone. I overdo it. Like,
oh,
I'll
really?
Eat, yeah, I like to fuck it up.
But you're never going to get like Bert fat.
Who's going to get bird fat?
Good job.
I mean, no, don't be crazy.
That's out of the realm of possibility. Nah. Yeah, I don't even know how it's possible, really, with just physics.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like you'd have enough muscle to pull that much weight up.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what I was saying before, where you're thinking about title fight, just in the back of your head or whatever.
Yeah.
You know you're not getting a title fight with Tyron Woodley right now.
Yeah, no way.
Do you want them to... Because I remember when John Jones was coming up, where they were like, ooh, this guy's got talent. And he was like 2-0 or something like that. Maybe 2-0 in the UFC. And they're like, oh, no, we're not feeding him to anybody. We're giving him fights.
Build
he
him.
Can win. Like you said, like maybe just out of your comfort zone, but not way out.
Yeah.
And then he gets the confidence and the training down enough to where he now can be a champion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the way... So like at least... Take me for example. Yeah. I'm probably the least experienced fighter in the UFC.
You think so?
I have 6 pro fights.
Oh.
Most of the time, you don't get signed to UFC till you're like 10-0.
Good point.
You know?
Yes.
So yeah, they're gonna they'll probably build me to a degree. But I know because I've mixed it up with champions and I've trained with people all over the world. And I know on any given day I could beat anyone.
You think so?
I know so. I know that for a fact. But you know, I also know that in 3 years I'll be able to whoop my ass now. I'll be able to whoop the version of me now, you know what I mean? Like I'm not in my prime yet. I'm still young. I'm 26.
Is it like a percentage game where like I can beat this guy 1 time out of 100, I want to move that to 20 times out of 100, then eventually I want to move it to like 75-80 times out of 100 where like the odds are way better that I'll win this fight.
Yeah, that's a good way. I never really thought of it like that. But I'd say so, probably. Yeah. You want to keep up and becoming a better version of yourself, better every day, every month.
Yeah.
You got to get, you know, if you got to get as good as you can, as fast as you can. That's the whole reason why I'm out in LA, you know, just trying to
training.
Yeah, just good, as fast as I can.
Wow. Are you still learning stuff?
Fuck yeah. Every day.
Really? Like brand new things, not just like getting expertise now, but actually learning something new?
Yeah. Wow. I'm learning a lot. I've been learning a lot with Joe Schilling. A lot. Like I was saying, it might not make sense. So I was saying, like, with doing jiu-jitsu tournaments, like, I've done jiu-jitsu a lot. And, like, when one of the things that brings me, like, a lot of relaxation before I fight, jiu-jitsu tournaments, I might go against 6 or 7 guys if I go to get to the finals. It might be, like, 30 people in a division.
Yeah.
So I got to fight, beat this guy. All right, now I got to take a little break and I fight this guy.
Yeah, like
UFC,
30 minutes
I just got to beat one motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
I just got to beat up one dude, and it's good. And I can punch. I can do anything I want, you know? So that kind of brings me comfort.
Like it's almost easier than a jiu-jitsu tournament.
I think so. Oh. Yeah, I just got to fight one guy, and I know who he is. I know what's going on. There's no surprises.
You train specifically for him.
Exactly. So that I like that, but I'm starting to understand, like, so I, like, my jiu-jitsu has always been, like, my calling card.
Yeah.
So, but I've always been able to crack people, and I've always had, like, good, tricky stand-up, but I'm understanding the actual, like, the techniques. I'm understanding, like, lines of striking and rules, and just I'm understanding it at a higher level, and
it's not just
I'm
like
expediting that process.
Out. It's like, how are you going to get the angle to punch me and knock me out?
Yeah. It's just like being a bull and going forward, like understanding how to like use angles and use feints and just different things, combos. There's a lot, you know. It's so much more technical and scientific than I think most people realize.
Yeah.
They think we're just guys going in there and bashing,
sweet
throwing
science,
bones
right?
at each other. Yeah, yeah, it is. There totally is.
I think it's probably the way you're saying it makes me think that probably if you're going against somebody untrained, it's like I can beat you up with just brute force. Like if like when Lewis fought like a completely worthless Ryan O'Neal, yeah, sure, you could just be a bully.
Sure.
But like if you have someone with any expertise, you need to have a little more training than that.
Yeah, yeah. And then you hardwire your shit in like I think similarly to like comedy, how you have a bit and then you make that bit more, you trim the fat and you make it more concise and you know your go-tos. I learned positions where I'm one of the best in the world at this certain spot.
Yeah.
And I have a couple of tricks and a couple moves here that I can get anyone in the world with.
Yeah,
you know?
If you look at Jay, his big strength is Big Jay.
Oakerson, okay.
Yeah, oh my training. But like his big strength is crowd work. That's the best part of his game. So if somebody yells something out, he's like, oh, you just entered into my strong suit.
Uh-huh.
Like,
yeah, you're playing his game.
Yeah, I'm not coming out of this and putting you in your place with material.
Uh-huh.
I'm doing this with my strength here.
Yeah.
And now if you go to somebody else, maybe it's not their strength. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, like, I assume jits would just be like, oh, you're crazy if you want to go down with me.
Yeah.
My percentage just goes way, way up.
Now. Uh-huh. This is my world, yeah.
Damn. How do you, what's the process of deciding who you're gonna fight? Like, do they bring the fight to you? Can you say no, I don't want that fight? Is there pressure to like take a fight that maybe you don't want? Is there like how does it work?
So there's let's bring it back a little bit. I like to call motherfuckers out.
Sure.
I like to call people out, and then I get to really call my shot. I get to really throw my 2 cents in on that.
You're smarter about that, because I've seen somebody call out like a title holder and you're like, dude,
you gotta
up.
Be realistic.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying,
on.
Right?
You're fucking ruining it. You're probably an idiot. They do that with roast battle where like some open Michael will call me or Jay. I'm like, dude,
yeah,
like,
stop
it.
Yeah, stay in your lane. Like,
don't fucking call Michael Che out. He's too busy to go against fucking somebody big.
Yes, exactly. So there's gotta be someone like within the realm of possibility.
Right.
You have to be realistic, and you have to be and you have to, you know, it's something to make it hot, you know, pick someone like for me, like a Diego Sanchez fight. Like something like that, like Sage Northcutt. Something that's going to, I'm shooting up, I'm going to elevate my career.
Based on their name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But typically the matchmakers of the UFC, which is like Sean Shelby or Mick Maynard right now. It used to be Joe Silva.
I know Sean Shelby. I don't know Mick Maynard.
Mick Maynard's an Australian dude. I think Sean Shelby does like the 155, 170, 185, and 205. And I think Mick Maynard does like heavyweights and the lower weights and the females.
Oh, interesting.
I think so. They split the work a little bit, and you'll talk to Sean Shelby. Like, I was talking to Sean Shelby this week, talking about like, hey, let's make this Diego fight happen.
And you ask him, like, hey, come on, take it to his camp.
I was like, he said, I said his name publicly. He said my name publicly.
He did.
We both said we're both down to fight December 8th in Toronto. Let's do it.
Did they, when was that in Toronto? December 8th?
December 8th, yeah.
I'll be in Zurich, sorry.
It's all good. Fancy pants.
Yeah.
Be in Zurich.
I'm a brick. Wait, what was I just going to say? And so then.
So you were asking, like, can you turn down fights? Can you say, I mean, you could absolutely, they could be like, hey, we want you to fight this guy. And you could absolutely say no. But for where I come from, you could say, let's say I was saying Diego Sanchez and he was like, what about this guy? And it's like some no-name, like, scrub. I'd be like, come on, give me Diego Sanchez.
Right. You'd be like, obviously you control what I do, but don't do this to me.
Obviously, this one makes sense.
Yeah.
I guess you could be like afraid of the person, but I subscribe to like Jim Miller's thing. Never turn down a fight. I mean, don't be stupid and understand, yeah. We don't get in this business to turn down fights.
Do you ever go like, I mean, they always talk about how it's all about like matchups, make fights and stuff. Yeah. And there's certain things where it's like, I don't know. Let's say my jiu-jitsu is my only strength, and I'm going up against Chuck Liddell, who no one can take down.
Right.
That means I will lose. Do you ever have like, oh, that's a terrible matchup for me. I really can't win that fight. I can beat the guy he loses to, but I can't beat him.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess that's a thing. I feel like if you're feeling that way, you probably don't have the mental strength to be in the sport or get to the top.
Okay.
You know, I don't. Yeah, I don't. I don't. I never felt that way. I never. I'm sure I got a trick that I'll get him with.
Yeah,
yeah.
I remember when Keith Jardine was fighting Chuck Liddell,
mm-hmm.
and they go, he said they didn't train at all in jiu-jitsu. They said you're a legit brown belt in jiu-jitsu. If whatever happens and it goes down, you're gonna beat him with or without training.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going down. So why are we wasting our time?
Yeah.
And they just trained him on like
Jackson's camp, huh?
Yeah.
Smart. That's where Diego trains too.
Really?
Jackson's camp. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this question, because this is something he told me that always sets in my mind, and I can apply it to stand-up, too, Greg Jackson. He said there comes a time in a fight where one fighter, they don't quit, but they accept defeat in their brains.
Mm.
They go, oh, it's going this way. And then he goes, they shift from trying to win to trying to survive three rounds, or they're still like in the back of their head, like maybe I can get, but they're really like, they accepted. It doesn't look like it's going to happen. Did you get that in your loss?
No,
you didn't.
Nah, until my deficit, I kept thinking, I'm going to get this motherfucker with this move. Yeah. He's still on the ground with me. I'm still going to get him. This is the, you know, and then, yeah, I remember I got really close on a guillotine towards the end.
Yeah.
And the crowd I heard was going wild. I was squeezing, I was pulling it and got out, and then you know at the end, sure, I heard the 10 seconds go and I ran at him with an elbow, like I was fighting till the end, you know.
Okay.
I never, yeah, I bro, I, and it's easy to say before you actually do it, but I always say I'd rather die than lose, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
My quality of life is different when you like win a fight versus when you like lose it. Like you feel great, you know what I'm saying? Like, you feel great for a while, but, yeah, I do mean that. Like, I'm smart enough to know that I'm probably not going to die. No one's died.
That's right.
But, like, you know, I'm a push it till I feel like I am. Yeah. Ari's fixing, lights. No problem. Yeah. Beautiful backyard of Ari Shaffir. What did you say? I definitely think I get that Diego fight. I don't see how not. It makes sense. He said my name publicly. I said his name publicly. And Sean Shelby is the one who, like, he brought it up to me this summer. Like, I didn't have Diego in my sights at all. He was like, you know what? I think it'd be a cool fight, like, you and Diego. And I was like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, you've watched him growing up.
Yeah. I was like, fuck yeah. I would love that fight. And, you know, I don't know how many more he's got. He's in his, you know, he's in his 30s. He's definitely on the back nine of his career.
Back so, nine, like yeah, that. Yeah. Yeah, he for sure is.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, that brings me to something. Almost no fighter fights past 35. Very few.
Yeah.
Past 40 is, I mean,
yeah.
One handful. Hand, really.
Yeah.
how much do you consider your post-fight career?
I think about it.
Yeah?
I think about it. Yeah. I think, and there's another thing like that Jim Miller said like recently, is like that fight, like MMA and fighting is a great platform to set up whatever you do for the rest of your life, like after that.
What are the
like options? A lot of guys open a gym.
Mm-hmm. For sure, that's a lot.
Take like, obviously like a cowboy, he seems to be aligning himself to do like a Hollywood career. That's another thing that a lot of people do.
Gina Carano was in fucking funny.
Yeah,
Deadpool.
Dude, yeah, Gina Carano.
She was good in it. Yeah.
Yeah, she's great.
She's big.
She's great. Big tits. Yeah. She's
big
killing
floppers.
It. Good yeah,
milks.
Right? That's some good breeding.
Yeah.
It's a good breeding.
Yeah.
It's a first round draft pick.
Yeah, you want that in your gene pool.
For sure.
What are you going to say? Jim Miller said what?
He said it's like a good platform.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to set up later. But so fucking I this is going to be a humble brag too. I signed with a modeling agency out here in New York City.
What, to like drive people around?
No, believe it or not, a lot of people think I'm very handsome, Ari. But Luke Rockhold has made millions with the same agency I'm with.
Modeling.
Made millions. He's the face of Polo Blue.
And you're willing to do the gay shit that comes with that?
I mean, shit, I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to be making millions if there's a lot of gay shit to go
there's
with.
There's a lot of gay shit in modeling, man.
Yeah. It's my, there's definitely a lot of gay people. They're cool. They're very nice. And it's fun. You got to go take pictures. Got to be center of attention for a minute. And then you get
Does
some money.
Does Luke Rockhold
still
fight?
Still fights, but
and
he's making millions. Yeah.
Wow,
go take
really?
Pictures. What is that? It's just easy. People treat you nice
easy.
And they put, you know what I mean? So yeah, I'm doing that now. Schilling's doing that. A few people, but it's all as far as like my next career goes. I got to figure some shit out. I don't know.
Is it one of those where it's like too early to even think about it? Like, why? It's fucking.
I think a little bit. I'm still in the beginning. I've been fighting professionally for 3 years. You know.
Yeah.
I've been doing like really training for this sport for 10 years. I got a lot to go.
You're still, no insult, a low-level UFC fighter, or low to mid, maybe mid-level.
I'd
people
say
sort
I'm
of know your name a little
mid.
Bit.
People, as far as popularity,
yeah.
A lot of people.
Yeah,
know your name.
Actually, you're right. Yeah. So, as a mid-level guy, you cannot answer this if you want, but it's how much money do you make just on the fights?
I'll tell you. So my contract goes like this. My first UFC fight, I made 10 and 10.
10 and 10. Do they still do 8 and 8s or not even?
No.
They're done with it.
I think they do, but I didn't get that.
God,
for whatever
crazy.
Reason. So I got 10 and 10, and my next one is 15 and 15. I fought CM Punk. I made 15 and 15.
That's nuts.
He made a mil.
That's nuts.
Bro, his purse was $500,000, and he made $500,000 pay-per-view buys. I was hoping he missed weight so bad.
So you could get half his.
I would have got $100,000. I would have got $100,000.
Dude, yeah. That's when Keith fought Chuck Liddell. He made $16,000. He had an 8 and 8 contract, and he had to fight the best fighter in the or top five anyway.
Yeah,
and make
$16,000
grand.
And Chuck probably made a mil.
Probably.
That's crazy. I didn't know. Damn. Yeah. So it keeps going up every time.
Do they renegotiate? Or do they have you on a contract? And it's like
I'm on I signed an 8-fight contract when I started.
And then they say you actually did well. We're going to give you more.
Yeah, I've made you know through the CM Punk fight and the Sage Northcutt, I've made like a pretty big name for myself at this point. So
yeah.
When I finish, I plan on finishing my contract like this year, like within in 2019, and then I'm gonna totally renegotiate.
You can ask whatever you want. They can say no or yes.
Yeah,
but in the meantime, they just bump it up on their own.
Yes,
they're
every
like you're worth
you,
more.
So you get a show and a win.
Yeah,
which I know you know, but it's like if you show, you make weight, get in the cage, you get a certain amount of money. Right now, I get 30.
30.
And then if I win, I get another 30.
It's usually the same.
Double your money.
It's usually about double, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I see it's like 15 and 10, but usually it's 15 and 15.
Yeah, usually
20.
It's double.
Yeah.
And then if like you renegotiate, like some guys will get like a flat rate. Like some guys would be like 100 grand win or lose, which also makes sense. It's like what? You really think that
fighting
extra money's going to make me actually try and win?
Yeah.
No, I don't want to get my ass kicked no matter what.
You're way less marketable when you lose.
Yeah. So
that's
everyone
why,
wants to win.
Yeah. Hey, what do fighters say about Mark Hunt's lawsuit?
Which is that one? Is that with Brock?
Yeah.
Who's he suing? He's suing Brock. He's suing UFC.
I think he's suing the UFC. I don't really know. It might be the Nevada State Athletic Commission. It might be the UFC. But he's. But I think what his point was like, you knew this guy's juicing. You let him fight me anyway, and now my career has been lessened because you put me in this position. It's not just that he beat me. I'm now when you get any losses, you're less make less money
for sure. Yeah, he's got it. It's an interesting one. We don't really. I haven't really discussed it with too many people, but I
wow.
I know, right?
Really? You think it'd be all the gossip? That's all comics do is talk about other comedy.
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I guess as far as that goes, I get it. It's Brock Lesnar. He's a huge name. You want to get him in there.
Yeah.
If you have to be like, hey, USADA, go fuck off for a little bit and don't test this dude.
Uh-huh.
You know, but also Mark Hunt has a great point. If they're letting him fight someone on steroids, that's a terrible thing to do. So it's...
I get it from the UFC's point of view for marketing, but I'm a human. And
I don't need to get hit with those gorilla fists.
Yeah.
Juiced up. Yeah. So, yeah.
Do you guys not talk about the politics of the UFC?
We absolutely do. We do. We talk about it. Like isn't that crazy? Like, shit, what was that? What was those numbers? I think, like, the NBA, there's this stat that came out. The NBA and between the owners and the players, I think the players get 51% and the owners get 49%.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, baseball and football, it's, like, something close like that. I think the UFC is, like, 90 and 10.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
It is crazy.
We don't have a union. We don't have a union.
Well, what do people say about that? That talk has come up.
And you know what? Everyone's always like, yeah, like, we need to get a union, but we need... Everyone's like... The thing is, what am I going to be like? Guys, I'm not fighting until we make a union. And they'll be like, all right, see you later, Mickey. People will scab, you know?
Okay, but what you need, and this is what they had for the Screen Actors Guild, is you need the top-level people.
Ronda Rousey, Conor McGregor, they need to be like...
Yeah, who Ronda Rousey? That girl's 6-2?
I know, but she's still Ronda Rousey.
Yeah.
If she was... actually... And I heard someone talk about this, like, if she decided to... All right, I'm also going to spearhead a union.
Mm-hmm.
Then she just made her MMA legacy.
Right.
She'll always be remembered as like that.
Because all it takes is like, at the same time, we'll drop this on them. We're all talking, and then it's like, we're going to say, hey, guys, we now have a union. There's 75 of us. 15 of these people are, you know, your top-level guys.
Yeah.
Six title holders are in this.
Yeah.
None of us are fighting. You can't scab out from that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can lose you.
You need the top.
You can lose even Jim Miller. Division. You can lose these people. It's like, whatever, fine.
You could even lose some huge name. Yeah.
But you can't lose all of them.
Yeah. You can't lose every champ.
Do they talk about that at all? Do you hear rumblings?
Not much. Like a little bit. It's like we'll talk, but like I don't see anyone doing anything. We'll talk about it, but there's a difference between talk and like actually shit happening, you know?
When I started there, it was like, no, we don't pay these guys. Started watching UFCs and going to UFCs. It was, no, we don't pay these guys, but they can make money on endorsements. That's where they make their money.
Right.
And then it became, no, you use Reebok, use our endorsements.
Yeah.
And then it was like, that was the only way?
Yeah. I probably lost I've lost hundreds of thousands of dollars not being able to put
on that William Morris deal?
Just not being able to put sponsors on my shorts. That was before William Morris. They made the Reebok to kind of tie a little bow on it, make it like, look, we have uniforms. It's very
up. They did that for the William Morris sale.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's all. It's all part of it. It's not separate. So you lost hundreds of thousands of dollars.
I would say for sure. I could see CM Punk fight. When I kicked his ass, I had so many people offering to like...
Mickey's Hard Cider.
We want our shorts. How can we get in the cage with you? How can we do this? Like some like big company. Like, I can't. I can't. Wow. It's not allowed.
So you just have to do a separate like a Burger King ad like outside.
Yeah, I could do a Burger King ad or shit on my Instagram.
In the octagon.
No.
Where the eyeballs really are on
you. You can have a monster one. But that's just because they're in bed with the UFC.
They're approved.
Yeah. It's fucked up for sure. That sucks. That's the upside of Bellator. That's why you see these guys going over to Bellator, rocking their own sponsors. Bellator's got some money. They got Viacom money. They're giving people money. But honestly, you want to be in the UFC. That's the top dog. That's the NFL. That's where you want to be.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Sometimes you see these guys who, like, I've heard of these guys, like, Mickey Rooney? No. What was his name? Rooney? There's a soccer player.
Right. I know. English dude. Yeah. Something Rooney, yeah.
And then he's, like, 47 now or something like that. He's past his career. And now he's playing in, like, a Japanese league or something like that. And he goes,
oh, shit.
Look, I can't play at the top level anymore. but I still want to try to win a championship so I can play the best of my ability. But you don't want to do that while you're in your prime. Go for them like Marbury did. Like, you want to play in the NBA until you can't anymore and then go to Greece.
100%. 100%. That's why it's like it is a nice option to have the Bellator, though. And it does, you know.
Do you guys look down on them?
No, because Rory McDonald's in Bellator. And if Rory McDonald's in the UFC, and when he was in the UFC, he was a top guy. So you know that he's still a top guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's I think it's good to have like a competitor for the to be like a Pepsi and Coke thing rather than it just be like you know sit, the UFC up there. So they got who they got now. They have Musasi is over there. Lyoto Machida. And usually they get people towards the tail end, but Rory McDonald's in his prime.
Making their name.
Rory's fighting Gegard Mousasi. Isn't that crazy? He's an 80. Wow. Gegard's an 85er fighting Rory for the. Rory's going to have to fight for the 85 belt.
Wow, really? Just for the fight?
I think it's like next month, that fight, yeah.
How can you decide how long you take off in between fights and stuff? Because,
you can.
Like...
You can, like, that's the thing. You could always turn down, a fight. Like, you can always say, I need a little more time off.
Well, what's the negative repercussion for that?
You don't get paid.
And would they eventually go, like, you're being a troublemaker?
They could. It's hard to know if people are going to be, like... If they're going to be like take shit personally or be vindictive or try and like hurt you, if you don't play their games or do what they want, I feel like I have pretty good relationships with everyone, like Dana and all those guys. Like I talk with Dana, I talk with you know all these guys, and they pretty much say like, you know they're not trying to you know we're all just trying to make money.
So if you did want to, let's say you, for instance, like where Connor was like, I'm out until I have my baby.
Right.
Or you said, hey, I actually want to go train in Thailand for about 4 or 5 months, and then I'll come back and train. So nothing for like 7 months for me because I want to work on this part of my game. They'd be like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like when I was telling you before, I got 21 stitches.
Yeah.
Which I should pull the picture for you. Before I fought CM Punk. And then when I fought Sage, the doctor was like, hey, a gust of wind will open that thing up. And then Sage hit me with a little gust of wind. And I got 8 more stitches right in that spot.
Yeah. Fuck. Sucks.
So, and then I told them, I was like, hey, I'm going to actually take 6 months and let this heal after my Sage fight. So I did take a lot of time. Yeah. I actually let it heal. Check that out.
Fuck.
Right? That was an accidental headbutt in practice.
That looks like my asshole. That looks
accidental
like
headbutt in
women's
practice.
Lips.
Right?
Yeah. It's you just like your eyebrows ready for a night of the town. Jesus, bro.
Yeah, yeah, it's a nice little slash.
Damn. Hey, how do your loved ones deal with you getting fucking punched in the face?
That's a good question. I get that one a lot too.
I get that question a lot.
I gotta say, man, you'd think like, especially like my mom, you'd think that'd be my mom's fucking tough. She goes to all the fights. She goes there. She like, you know, she does her thing. She doesn't. I was like worried after like the one fight where I like bled and like lost. She was cool. I was like worried about her a little bit. Like almost felt like I wanted to call her right away or see her right away.
Feel like
all good.
Worry about it.
Yeah, just be like, I'm good. I'm fine. Like, and my dad, he likes it. My dad's like a tough dude. So
I sat next to Clay's mom once when she was like watching.
Guida.
Yeah.
Nice.
And it was just like every time I got hit, it was like I felt bad, but she didn't. She was like, man, he's been fighting for a long time, baby. This ain't his first fucking punch in the face. You know, that's the way I'm like putting it on her.
Okay.
But, yeah, I always wonder. I'd be like, fuck.
It's I just know just from, like, my teammates, like, watching them, like, it's like, because you're more helpless. It's easier when it's me going in there. I'm the one fighting.
Yeah.
It's all in my control. When I'm watching them and I'm, like, cornering them and I'm outside the cage, I'm screaming, I get myself hoarse, I'm like, and right as we're about to walk out, I start getting nervous for them and shit, you know? It's like, it's a different type of thing.
Yeah, I can see that. Hey, so here's something that bothers fans. Mm. And you're from the insider point of view, the judges.
Yeah.
The judging system, the judges themselves, the process of letting something go to this. Like, just give me your and then the general, like, talk from you guys.
It's funny because I was having a conversation about that this morning with my teammate, this dude, LJ Raboli, who is he's going to be, like, a star one day. He's, like, my top guy, 21-year-old kid. But we were talking about him. We were like, what they should do, at least one little improvement.
Uh-huh.
Between rounds, put the score up. After round one, who won round one?
Yeah, why do they
wait? All right, LJ won round one. Now he knows.
Because they're not deciding later, right?
LJ won round two. They're not deciding. Now he knows.
I have to go get this guy.
Yeah, because they write it after. They don't think about, they don't after the third round, who won round one. They write it after each round. Disclose that. Just make an announcement. LJ Raboli won round one, 10-9. Simple. Now just we know in our head. And now if I lost the first two rounds, I'm going to go ham in the third round trying to get my finish.
Will that, just devil's advocate, would that make him intentionally try to fight safe?
Totally. But why can't we fight strategically?
Exactly.
You know
what
I mean?
You're absolutely
right. He absolutely can.
Yeah.
If he wants to stay on the jab, stay on his horse, and run
a little
around,
bit. It's like, yeah, that's the benefit he's gotten from beating you up for two rounds.
Exactly. Exactly. So it's
that's
but and
fix.
It lets it would let every, I think it would make why we gotta what are we trying to make drama? What are we trying to postpone it to the end? What
it's
knowing what it is what's you know, in a basketball game, football game, you got a scoreboard.
Exactly.
We know the scoreboard.
That what oops,
so apparently. that's one improvement I would say.
Okay.
There's also like sometimes like just shit judging. I don't know what to do about
Cecil
that.
Cecil Peoples type of things?
Huh?
Cecil Peoples?
Yeah, exactly.
Like he's not the, still in it, is he?
I think he is.
Oh my God, he's been called out by so many people.
Yeah, that's right.
Why does the Nevada State Athletic Commission still stand by that?
I don't know.
When you see Dana White, Rogan, and fighters go, fuck this guy. Not just I lost a fight. I'm uninvolved. I'm Joe Rogan.
So what, he's just, he doesn't seem educated on it. He always is fucking up the thing.
Yeah, it was always like 3-0.
I know that name, but
and then 1-2. Like, what? You're off by two rounds with everybody else?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I guess education, and I think as the sport grows, that'll be solved.
Right.
But, you know, the sport's still in its infancy. And although it is like the fastest growing sport, it's still young.
Rogan said he heard somebody once, a judge. I'm pretty sure I'm getting this right. He heard a judge, when somebody's on the ground, lean over to someone else and go, what is he doing? What's going on over there? And he was like, fuck, you should not be judging.
Yeah.
If you don't even know what this is.
It's like people like grandfathered in from boxing. Like they have a job. So here, let's go make them. Yeah.
Like there's a difference between if I'm on top of you, and if we ever fought, I would be on top of you. But, where I'm trying
to
like
a lot of sass on that too. Confidence and sass, and I would.
You're like I'm not even talking.
All right, shit.
By the way, I love when you fought with Lewis. How you don't like? I used to be in college at Maryland, and sometimes we'd play in the gym, and Maryland basketball players would play with us.
Yeah,
and you'd have this idea like, I fucking beat them a couple times until somebody would tell you like, dude, they're going 40%.
Yeah.
They're not going their best. I love when you fought in the creek in the cave with Lewis and you went 99.5% instantly.
Yeah.
Like I'm trying to tap you within 4 seconds.
Yeah, we're not spending a lot of time here. I'm gonna fuck him up quick. Yeah.
Okay, so let's say I'm on top of you and there's a difference between like I'm gassed, I'm just trying to hold on to you and fucking catch my breath versus working for an arm triangle.
Right.
And if you're a judge and don't know the difference,
why are you doing there? You shouldn't be there.
So what do you guys say about that shit when you're talking in private circles? Like,
you try not to let it in the hands of the judges, or we just hope that the judges are competent and will make the right decision.
They generally do. Should be honest.
Most of the time,
they do get the right decision.
Yeah.
It's just glaring when they don't.
That's terrible. If they really are that like incompetent, that sucks. It's terrible. You don't want because then there goes half your money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you really won and they say not. Yeah, it sucks.
Yeah, it's also like, I wouldn't even be like, don't fire them. Just keep them in boxing.
Yeah.
If you're the Nevada State Athletic Commission, just keep them where they should be. It's okay.
Yeah, 100%.
The fans always say that. And I'm sure you go on the underground at all.
I used to. I have before.
It's been a long time, but for me.
Yeah.
But they always go, that's why you don't let go to a decision. And you're like, dude, fuck off. This guy went 3-0 and he got robbed. You don't be like... That's why you don't let. It's like it's only up to you whether it goes to decision.
People are the worst.
How do you deal with that dumb fan,
dude? I just remember I had to like even educate like my dad.
Really?
I'd be watching fights with my dad and be like, "Why is he hit him with the elbow?" I'm like, "Dad, what do you mean?
It's not Jason Bourne.
You fucking hit him with
idiot.
The elbow."
Yeah.
Like people think because like you like oh fighting. I've seen fighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a lot of and that's the thing, man. That's just you just gotta take it for just understand. Yeah, people are stupid.
That's the thing that they're doing with Louis now. Where it's like, why doesn't he do a well-crafted joke about this whole situation? You're like, well, because he hasn't been on in 9 months.
Do you have a suggestion on the well-crafted joke?
Yeah.
Can you? Yeah.
And then you back up and you're like, oh, you guys just don't know how this works, really.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're idiots and you're annoying, but it's just from a place of you have no idea.
Yeah.
Oh, that must be frustrating.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, totally. I would hate, and like, I hate using the term civilian.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I would hate like watching fights like in college with like, other like I don't want to say civilians so much, but like just fucking frat dudes or whatever. And they're just like, oh, dude, if it was me in there, I'd do this. I'm like, dude, you don't got any idea what you're talking about.
Oh, we used to hear that after 9/11. If I was in the plane, that shit would go different.
Mark like, Wahlberg.
You're suddenly more brave than the 300 people on there. You, untrained, non-marine you.
Yeah.
Is just going to suddenly be better than all those guys?
Yeah. Grab him by his turban.
Yeah. Well, they sure did get lucky you weren't on that plane then, I guess. Oh, dude, we don't call them civilians. I love doing this. Mm. Calling them mortals.
Mortals. Yeah. That's even better. Mortals. That's way better.
Yeah, it is.
That's
way better. It's intentionally demeaning, but we love saying it in our own circle.
Because civilians, like, what am I? I think I'm a soldier.
Yeah.
Right? Civilian is like, if you're not a soldier, a cop, I don't know.
Well, this elevates us to godlike, I guess.
Yeah. The immortals and the mortals.
Yeah.
You guys and the normal folk, the normies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I was talking to my girl earlier, and I was like, yeah, no, if I was like at the cell or something, I definitely want to go. But like only if like someone I know is out. I don't want to go sit and get seated like a normie.
Like a chump. Like a normie. Yeah. Yeah. Like a normie.
Yeah. I'll use my comedy friends to get a nice seat.
Yeah. Oh, dude, when we used to get the best tickets from Rogan for UFC.
Dude, yeah, I bet.
And then sometimes it was like, for whatever reason, it was like, I didn't get those seats today. Yeah. So he's like, I got you in, but you're sitting like, up there. What the fuck is this garbage?
You're spoiled at that point, right?
Like, Diaz said that about the LA ones, because that's when all the favors come in for Rogan.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants tickets.
Yeah.
They all live there.
I was trying to fight on that card, too. This past one. Yeah, it'd be dope.
But at that point, Diaz was like, no, I'm not going to that. I'm like, why? I'm like, because then we got to fucking park in the parking lot like everybody else. We don't just get to walk through the fucking tunnels.
The fucking say hi to
Lyoto Machida on our way in and BJ Penn. How you been, man? Yeah.
Yeah.
Just trying to fucking wait in line? Fuck that.
Yeah, get out of here.
Yeah. You get spoiled.
Yeah.
Hey, do sponsors ever fucking come at you like to act a certain way?
Like no. Like you do for I've us? Never had. I never had a sponsor tell me how to be. I'm not out there being like fuck this, fuck that on social media and being too wild.
Mm-hmm.
But
have you seen it happen to others? There was that guy who got a swastika tattoo, and Dana's like, "Well, you'll never fight in my league. Are you crazy?"
Huh? Yeah, I bet they like I bet there's totally instances where that, you know, whether it's sponsors or whether it's like the UFC.
Mm-hmm.
Like so I put up some like videos of like a UFC fight, and I was like, I wonder if they're gonna like be like, hey, you got to take that off your Instagram, or trying like if they were gonna try and get someone to like swipe it, you know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Like wipe it clean, like,
because
I didn't pay for it, and I it's supposed to not, but I just like did it anyway.
Dude,
and you know what, I got a good I think we might have talked about this on Punch Drunk, but before I fought CM Punk in Cleveland,
yeah,
I was going to do the LeBron clap with the powder.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We did talk about that. Yeah. That was my suggestion.
And yes, and I went to them, and yeah. I said, I was like, hey, I want to do – I told them that I want to do this.
They would go nuts.
I told the UFC, and they're like, someone could like slip on the powder on the scale. So I learned then to ask for forgiveness rather than permission, because mm-hmm. I could have done that and been like, that would have been badass. I was going to do
it. It's not one of those when you ask because like, this actually might be dangerous, let me see, where you know like this is not a problem. If you do have a problem, it's going to be nitpicking.
Yeah.
You know?
But it was like, I was trying to just, hey, let me just make sure it's, and it was, now I know. Now
dude, I
know.
I was so proud of that suggestion.
It was great. I would have done it 100%.
They would have loved it there.
I would have done it.
In Cleveland.
Yeah. It would have been dope.
It's so iconic what he does there, and they would all
get on
know.
The scale and just,
yeah,
right. I know.
So well, that brings me to this next one too. How much time do you spend, and do you guys spend on entrance music, entrances in general, and then also how much do the rest of you talk like, "Hey, good one, dude. I saw that. That was fucking cool."
It depends. I get a lot of love on mine.
You
do. I come out to Hey Mickey.
Uh-huh. Hey, Mickey, you're so far.
Exactly. I get a lot of love on that. Rogan gives me a lot of love on that.
Really?
I like him, man. He always gives me a lot of love. So my friends who are fighting this weekend, we've been like talking about it for the past like month.
About
they're
what
like,
they're
yeah,
going
to
do?
So you know what you're coming out to yet? Like, nah, I'm not sure. And then like last night, like LJ knew what he was coming out to. Chris is known for a couple of weeks. Like everyone, you know, everyone's figuring out their shit.
Yeah.
Coming out to Stone Cold Steve Austin music or... whatever.
I love when someone takes a wrestling stance on it too, and they go in there with like one of the Four Horsemen or something, or just like, just you're like, oh, and only or like an old school UFC thing, Clay's done that before, I think, Guida, where you're like, the hardcore fans that have been around for 15 years know what he's referencing and no one else does.
Yeah. Yeah, I like doing that too. So when I fought in New York at Madison Square Garden, I came out. So now I started with the bump, 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 the whole Hey Mickey thing.
Uh-huh.
Then right as it starts to get to like that gay part where it's like, I bring a new song. So I did like Sopranos music.
Oh, smart.
One time.
Yeah.
And then like this last one I did, whoa. Yeah,
what
you know
is
what I mean?
It good
exactly.
for?
Exactly. So I like doing like a little nothing. Remix like halfway through.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Like a fucking strip club song where you get 30 seconds to a minute.
Yeah,
and you're like,
exactly.
That was a song?
That was a...
I paid 20 bucks for that?
Yeah.
Sure seems shiny. I get you're having a
What's
good time.
My bill? $300? Fuck.
Oh, I went to a strip club. It's my first time going on my own with money.
Say that again?
First time I went to a strip club in Providence on my own with money. You know, I've gone with Rogan before. I'm like, I don't have a dime, but he'd pay for stuff.
Yeah.
But this is like me deciding what I want to do. And I'm like, yeah, I'll go to the back with you. And then it was like, I mean, it got, you know, fun. But then it was like, you know, you go reach for boot. Like, no, we can't do that. I'm like,
if
you pay extra, we can go more. I'm like, wait, you just fuck guys in the back?
Yeah.
I guess you do. I didn't win you over.
But what's the dollar amount? Like,
exactly.
I'm pretty discouraged pretty immediately. By like it's like it's almost like I can look at the steak, I could touch the steak, but I can't eat the steak. I can chew the steak, but I gotta, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like I can't actually enjoy the steak.
Yeah,
that's why strip clubs I'm a little, but I feel you gotta drop it like money. I remember my buddy.
Do you have to be able to go like this?
Yes, and you have to be willing to be like, here's $500. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll take a blow, like something mm-hmm. like that, right?
Yeah.
My boy ended up paying. We're in Maryland. We went down to watch the Orioles and the Yankees play.
Cool, Camden.
Right? We took a bus, and we went to Larry Flynn's strip club.
Uh-huh.
He paid $400 and got an over-the-pants hand job. Nutted his pants. I had to go sit in Yankee Stadium or in Camden Yards with fucking jizz in his pants.
So on the way in, you got it?
Yeah.
Like a 5 p.m.-er?
Bro, I watched the whole game like this. I was like, out there like half drunk still. I was like, we should just stay at the strip club, honestly. It was a terrible idea to go strip club to baseball game.
To the slowest sport in the
exactly.
world.
Exactly. It was terrible.
Wouldn't it be a golf is the only slower sport to watch?
Yeah,
I think I left there down to like 250 or something. I was like, okay, it didn't hurt me, but like not worth it.
Yeah, right?
But not then you can't it. Even think straight.
Go to
paying
rub and tug.
Over the pants. If you had your mind about you, your wits about you, you'd be like, I'll just masturbate for free.
Right.
It's not worth $400, what I just got.
Yeah.
It's not even sex.
But it's funny, you're drinking in the strip club and you're looking at the chicks like, man, I might take. Yeah.
Should be illegal. They're fucking making you unable to say no and then taking money from you.
I know.
You can't
get America.
Ain't that America?
Ain't that America?
But what song would you walk out to if you were fighting?
Okay. Homer Simpson came out to Why Can't We Be Friends, which I loved when he fought Jedrick Tatum.
Okay.
Which is a nice, fun song.
That is good.
Yeah. I might come out to the Israeli national anthem.
Okay. I'm not familiar with that tune.
Oh, Lord, it's been a while. I don't know what I'd come out to. I think it would depend on who you're fighting and
True.
Just what's cool. But lyrically, it has. I hate the fucking garbage Big J kind of music that half the people come out to.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, I remember hearing Till I Collapse, I'm Still in This Rap, the Eminem. I've at regional shows, saw two guys fighting each other, came out to the same song. didn't we just hear it? Yeah. I think it played two more times that night, too.
It's like you guys are none of your original.
Yeah.
It would be something fun. Maybe even like Ren Stimpy or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But like hyped, but fun.
Okay.
You know? We're like, were you taking yourself this seriously?
Yeah. I'm sticking with Hey Mickey. I'll always start with Hey Mickey.
And then
always.
Go from there.
That's, yeah.
I mean,
let
it goes
know.
So perfectly
boom,
with
boom,
you.
Boom. You know what I mean? Let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way it sounds at first. Oh, and then
you know who I do like in terms of like what I'd be thinking is Rhonda's song, actually.
It's not bad at all.
Upbeat song.
I don't give a damn. I'm a bam, baby.
Everyone's like, oh, yeah, all right.
I'm like, all right, Rhonda.
Yeah. Thank God I'm a Country Boy was a good one for, what's his name? The guy who beat up BJ a couple times at 70.
Matthews. Okay, and then Cerrone comes out to Cowboy Baby to Kid Rock. I like that.
That's a good one. It's still kind of cool.
Jim Miller. What were his? He would come out to Long Cool Woman in a Black Dress. And then there's like one other one that it's fucking all. Like every time I hear it, I'm like, Jim Miller walkout song.
Oh, dude, Heath Herring came up with a great one.
I could tell by the way. Is it Johnny Cash? Man in a black coat. What was it? I could tell by the way he walked. Oh, fucking, what was that? I think it was American 4 from one of those albums. Fuck, I wish I remembered. I just had it in my head.
I gotta take one more piss. Think about it.
Yeah, me too. Perfect.
Oh, good.
Dude, first of all, I can't think of the song. I'll get it by the time I do the intro, the exit. But, like, it was such a cool fucking badass song. You pee hard.
So do you.
No, I pee soft.
No, I was not true. I respect your stream as well.
Really?
Real recognize real, you know?
Okay, thanks.
My dad used to say he thought I was going to take off like a fire hose.
It comes out so fucking light.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. I heard a Tracy Morgan bit once. He was going and to somebody in the crowd. He's like, how old are you? And they were like, I'm 23. He goes, oh, I bet you pee hard.
Yeah. Tracy Morgan.
It's like every time he makes a good joke, I'm like, are you just guessing?
You're just saying that.
Yeah,
right?
Like, do you even know what you're doing?
Yeah.
It keeps hitting. Then you're like, yeah. I guess you do.
Yeah, crazy like a fox.
So I'm going to ask you not to answer for yourself, but first answer for the rest of the people you
on
know
behalf
of.
Behalf of MMA.
Yeah. I mean, but what you've heard. You know, you guys talk. What do they think of having a guy like Rogan as their chief analyst?
Love it.
Why?
Because he's great. He's great at it. He gives mad love. He's very respectful. He's always giving props. He's never shitting on people. He's good at it. He's good. He's exciting. Like we all regard the Rogan and Goldberg. Even though Goldberg would say like his crazy shit, that's MMA. That's like those are the two commentators. Rogan and Goldberg. That's
so
the dream
you want to be an Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, that's a dream team. You got Goldberg to say is he might say some corny shit sometimes, but Rogan's always there. And he's correct.
Everyone, the way they get into it. Too.
Everyone loves it. Yeah, we love Rogan. I don't know anyone who has a bad word to say about Rogan.
I saw once Heath Herring actually. I saw
he does.
No, there's something I saw once because it was interesting to me because I know him as only a comic. And
Heath Herring or
no,
Rogan. I'm sorry. Duh.
Yeah. And then it's a side thing he had for a while. I know he's into it, but like a side, that's not what I know him as. And so it's cool that he does it, but then it's like, oh, I guess you're trained and stuff. So Heath Herring fought Brock, actually. Brock ran over him.
Yeah, literally.
And afterwards we were eating, and I think Rogan said, like, he didn't really show anything there. And he was a good fighter at the time, Heath.
Yeah.
And we were at dinner. And Heath Herring walked into some place in Vegas, and he saw him, and he kind of locked eyes, and he made a beeline over for him. And Rogan was like, I think he had said something along the lines of, wow, he just really didn't have anything. I don't know why.
He said it during the broadcast?
Yeah.
On the commentary? Okay.
And Heath Herring came over, and he goes, can I just explain to you what happened? I'm nursing a knee injury, and I wasn't able to base off. But just the fact that he had to explain to the commentator his situation, I can't imagine anyone doing that to, like Dick Vitale or anything like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It is, I guess, man, because it's an individual sport. So I guess that I would say maybe that's the difference.
It's just that he wanted to explain to this guy what had happened.
Everyone's got mad respect for him.
Wow, it's so cool.
Yeah. I mean, his podcast is huge. Everyone listens to that. He's always got fighters on that. He's always got... Dude, I think, like, his podcast definitely not only made me more, like, thoughtful, but also, like, just... made me look at things differently.
In life or about your sport?
More in life.
Okay.
Like, I just think the different minds he's had on and, like, his opinions and probably even is maybe more, like, thoughtful and, like, maybe even, like, a kinder person in a way. And I think a lot that's, like, a lot of my generation, like, we, like, grew up on that. We came up, I got more education from that in college, I think, than...
Oh, he was already doing it when you were... How old are you now?
26. I started listening when I was 19.
Damn, I guess it's been going that long.
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, no, it's like me and like some of my boys, like we listen to that forever. Like we're talking just the other day, yesterday, my boy LJ is like, hey, did you hear TJ Dillashaw just on it yesterday?
And you hear and, like, for like
hear,
interesting
yeah, we
quotes
hear
and like
what
stuff.
He's doing, what his training's like, what, you know, Rogan gets into it. He asks good questions.
He asks from an insider point of view instead of just like, well, you say like Good Morning America. It's what's it like
that.
Getting hit? And you're like, all right, what's it like?
That?
You can't start a question with what's it like.
Yeah.
It's like it's the broadest possible question. What's Joey Diaz like? And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about? How would, if you, how, what's she like?
He's in Philly tomorrow.
Diaz?
Diaz, yeah. He called me last week. I was like, hey, dog, I'm down in Philly, you know?
What's he doing?
He's doing a show at like Parks Casino or something. Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to bring a bunch of people down.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, you should.
Yeah. He's funny.
He's the best. He would get me high on those breath strips to
really?
Where it was like, you'd lean over and you'd be like, is it hitting yet? And you'd be like, no.
He's responsible for one of my days being a wash.
Why?
When I talked about that, it was when Ronda fought Amanda Nunes.
Yeah.
I've done a show like 3 times, but he sent me home with like brownies and this and that. And I took one in the morning to take a run. Yeah. Empty stomach. I took a little too much. I was fucking high till the end of the night, dude. To the end of the night, I was like, that day, I barely remember any of those fights.
At all.
Nah, I had friends over, and I was like, guys, we were supposed to go somewhere else. I was like, guys, just come to my house. I can't go anywhere. It was crazy.
Dude, I did a bit about it. It was one joke where it was like, when you're on these edibles at a fight, you get so lost in it, like you can't even follow it. And people are like, who do you think's winning? I'm like, I don't know, but they're both trying really hard. I know that. They're each sweating, so it's a good fight, right? They're like, yeah. No, it's 4-0. And I'm like, oh, I don't know.
I don't know. But you see their heart. You can see it taps into the heart. That's awesome.
It's so fun doing drugs and those things. Oh, wait. Do you see your friends getting brain damage? Have you noticed it in people?
I've had conversations with like some older guys about it, and they're like, one dude who... I don't want to even say his name, but like okay. He's just a fucking badass. Uh-huh. He was like, I probably got CTE. And I've also had like another guy be like, I was forgetting things, and like I started like getting knocked out too easy, and they're like, that's when I retired.
Because you know it's coming.
Probably. That's you know, they definitely were noticing that shit wasn't right. That they're getting hit with shots that
2 years
growing up
ago,
your whole life ain't shit.
Right.
But then now they're getting put on their ass on TV, and it's like, fuck this. I can't do this anymore, I guess.
Have you ever advised someone to be like, you should stop?
I have not.
Have you ever wanted to?
No, because if I thought that, I would say something. I wouldn't tell someone, yeah, go fight more. But I haven't seen it yet personally. I'm also pretty young. A lot of my friends are young, like I have a couple guys who are like older, but They know what they're doing. They're either, I've never felt that like, yo, you got to get out of this.
It's bad. It's bad for you as a human now.
Yeah, I've never felt that way. But didn't Rogan do that to Shab?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm like wishy washy on Shab.
Why? As a commentator?
I don't know. Like I remember. So I'll just keep it real with you. I remember I like liked him. I was kind of like a fan of his. I like him and Callan's show.
Yeah.
And then I was about to fight Sage, and he was like saying I was going to get my ass whooped.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this. I was like, fuck this dude. I was kind of mad about it. And then like right before the fight, he's on Rogan's show, and Rogan's like talking me up and saying nice things. And then he's like, oh yeah, I think Mickey Gall's going to win. After saying like a couple months before,
do you take it personally when these people are, half of them is like, I need to say.
Well, someone like him, I do take personally, because that's kind of someone who like, I enjoyed his show, and now he's saying I'm going to get my ass up. Like, fuck you.
But also some of it, and this is fine to still not like it, but some of it's just like...
his opinion?
The way I interpret how this fight's going to go, I don't see it going well for this.
Yeah. Yeah, like I guess so.
After Lewis beat that fucking chump, O'Neal, who had nothing, he was like, what now? And I'm like, oh, I was wrong. You clearly won it.
Yeah,
I mean, I just thought it wouldn't go that way. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I guess so.
Or do you not? Or are you like, no, fuck you?
A little bit is like, yeah, what the you can't? I'm almost like, well, you can't see what's really up.
Yeah.
You think I'm gonna lose a fucking siege? You can't. You know?
Oh,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, so I guess I don't know. He was like, yeah, there's another level, and that's why, like, that's another reason why I don't like Tyron Woodley. He said Sage was gonna whoop me. I'm like, fuck you. So.
How many fights away do you think you are from a title fight? How many wins in a row, or like with one loss? How many wins with one loss in there? Which is more likely?
So right now we're talking in September. I wanted to fight Madison Square Garden November 3rd.
Yeah.
I think it's gonna end up being December, my next fight.
Okay.
And then I'm gonna do
against hopefully Diego.
Yeah, I'd say probably Diego. And then I'd like to do a fight after Christmas, and I'd like to do a fight before the summer. So I could fight them maybe like February, March, and then
wait. Oh, after, okay, February, March, and then the summer again.
Yeah,
okay.
So like December, February, March, and then like May, June.
Uh-huh.
And then that, that'll complete this my first 8 fights in with the UFC, and then so I plan on being like a four fight winning streak.
If you're
goes
7
right.
and 1,
yeah,
in the UFC, they've already got to start thinking about.
Yeah, and I've been coming up. Yeah, I've been coming up fast too. So, I think you know I fight beat Diego. I'll beat like a guy on the near rankings, and then by the summer I'll be fighting a ranked guy.
What's your ranking? Do you know? I mean,
no idea.
Back up. No way. No fucking way.
No idea. Swear to God. If you're not in the top 15, they don't like you. Don't I don't think you are. I don't think if you're not in the top 15, and I'm not just because I have six pro fights.
Yeah.
You know.
Six pro fights.
That's it. Wow. But I like this, and it's kind of cool because I'm going to have a unique experience where all my growing pains is going to be seen in front of the world.
Yeah.
I'm fucking down with
strange,
it.
Strange, right?
It's going to be cool. Yeah. I think it's going to be cool. You know, I've suffered a loss. It ain't shit. It's not, you know, it didn't hurt.
Not the end of the world.
It hurt emotionally.
Yeah.
But physically, not at all. I'm never worried about, like, pain before a fight. Like, it's just, you know. I just want to be able to do what I want to be able to show what I work so hard at and do every day. I want to be able to show that, and when you can't show that, sucks.
Can't show all your
yeah work what
done.
What you're capable of.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
just you know.
That's the way when you get like bad hecklers, not even hecklers, but they just keep talking and yelling dumb shit out. You're like, dude, I prepared something great.
Yeah,
and you're sidetracking me from fucking showing.
Why are you
what
wasting everyone's time?
Yeah,
yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy. What you guys do is fucking. That's like seems more scary to me a little bit. Standing up there and having a talk, I'd be like,
You know
what I mean?
An opponent, you don't really.
So
know
what's
how
up, guys?
You know, there's no game tape.
Gonna,
there's no tape on these on this audience.
I'm just gonna, and the way like I see like you and like Big J and like Bert, it's almost like you guys do almost like a hypnosis.
Huh.
I would say it's almost like you guys are getting us all in your line of thinking. We're with you. We're riding a roller coaster. Almost like we're up and then you pay it off. It's very cool to see. I love seeing comedy shows.
Interesting, like observation because it is like that. Once you get them on your wavelength, like I can take you anywhere.
Yes,
it's getting them on there. It's hard to get them
on
the ride.
With you. We're
but
just,
once they're on, then it's like yeah, you guys are mine.
Yeah.
Why is there a link between stand up and MMA? There seems to be one, right?
Yeah. I think, individual, going out there, we all have our specialties.
Mm-hmm.
Honing a craft. A craft that takes years to actually be proficient at.
And you have to do it before you're proficient.
Uh-huh. Yeah. You gotta eat shit sometimes.
Yeah.
Everyone who walks into, like, an MMA gym, although I think we do have a lot of, like, big egos, and a big ego will drive you to the tops. You get your ego shattered when you first start. Choked out like a motherfucker. I got dudes on me like a necklace. I'm wearing them like a necklace triangling me in the beginning.
There's nobody who hasn't been choked out. Or not choked out, but tapped.
Tapped. Oh, yeah. Yeah. If you go any, I don't care how big and bad and tough you are, you're going to, if you haven't done jiu-jitsu, you go to jiu-jitsu gym, you're getting tapped out.
Dude, I started and I was going with this brown belt, Shigeki.
Yeah.
Who was maybe 145.
He's your daddy, right? But he's your daddy. He owns you.
And I'm 50 pounds heavier than him. And then one time I fucked up and it was a scramble and I got his back. And I didn't even tap him. I just got behind him and tried. And
nice.
He fucking had to take some effort to like get out. And then he was like, "You're fucked now, just so you know. Like, I'm going to tap you 19 times in 3 minutes." And I was like, "I'm sorry. What do you want me to do?" He goes, "You shouldn't have done that." But yeah, you have to fucking take it.
Yeah.
That was the first thing I looked at Rogan said. He goes, "Dude, your rear naked choke defense is really good." I'm like, "Yeah, it's my main thing I've been working
on." That's what you hone, right?
Yeah,
as a white belt, it's all defense.
Everyone's on me, yeah.
It's all defense. It's all learning how to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I think it's like people in jiu-jitsu gyms you'll find are also, because people be nervous, think it's a bunch of like meathead dickheads in the gym. But really, it's like people who've been the guy who's getting tapped out, and they just want to be, they were happy when the upper belt was nice to them. So they're just going to want to be nice to you. The guy they looked up to was nice to them, so they're going to be nice to you too. That's why a lot of, like, I always say, like, go to the gym. It's not what you think.
Yeah, you think it's
nerds,
killer meatheads
that
are going to fucking bully
you.
It's
nice people. Because the meatheads, they get sifted out. They start getting tapped out. Fuck this. I'm going to go do boxing. And then they get beat up at boxing. Fuck this. I'm going to go taekwondo. You know what I mean? They never make it.
Dude, Eddie used to have this thing where he'd go, you remember Tate Fletcher?
Yeah.
So Tate was big, and he'd been training jits since he was 17 or 16 or something like that. So he was quite good at it. And when somebody went too hard with people, which happens, you know. It's like, dude, you're going for heel hooks. That's not, come on, yeah. Dude. We're just fucking.
Uncouth.
Yeah. And he was like, hey, Tate, can you roll with this guy, please?
Give him a meat grinder.
Yeah, and he gave him like a longer look, and he's like, hurt him a little.
Yeah.
Like, let him know he's not allowed to do that anymore.
Our coach does that too. Like, really? He's like, hey, there's a new guy here, and he's like, he was a wrestler, and he's going pretty hard. He said, if you saw him slam a guy, it's like, let him know.
Yeah, slamming. What are you slamming somebody for?
My coach, that's the DA I have here.
Yeah.
That's my jiu-jitsu coach, David Adiv. He's from Israel.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
smart,
Israeli
bro.
Special Forces, like, badass dude.
Yeah.
Right? And he'd be like, let him know.
Let him know.
they
used to hire Diaz in the Florida gigs, Miami, West Palm, and Jacksonville and shit. He goes, they'd all these like, cocky like headliners that come down from Boston or New York and things that are tough shit. And they'd hire Diaz to MC, not to MC, to feature, do the middle
and
spot.
They gotta follow him.
And he'd be like, bury him. And he'd be like, okay. And he'd be filthy and hard. And it was just like,
then
they have to be like,
shit.
Whoa, that guy's too dirty. It's like, whatever, failure, whatever your reason is.
Yeah. Yeah. He couldn't follow it. You either can or you can't.
Have you ever had to pull out for injury?
No, not an MMA fight. I've had to like not do a grappling tournament I plan on doing.
Uh-huh. That must be really frustrating.
Yeah, that's the worst. I think like I'd say almost everybody goes in there somewhat compromised, somewhat banged up, bruised, mm-hmm. because you know it's
training all the time.
Exactly, and that was one of the things like Lewis and Ryan were talking about. Like, you know, they're just going through the training. It's not, we're not playing checkers here.
Right.
We're, you know, it's high speed, high, you know, like violent and physical shit. So you always got a thing or two, but, you know, I've been pretty fortunate. Nothing too. I remember actually right before I fought Sage.
Yeah.
My last practice, I was sparring like a week out. And usually they say, so yesterday was Wednesday. My boys are fighting on Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the last hard day.
Then they don't.
Pretty much now you taper back and you're just worried about your weight and like the work's done. Anything you do in the last week, it's not going to make you that much better for a fight at that time. But I was sparring like a week out and I went to shoot on someone and he kneed me right like high leg, like my hip. And it hurt like a motherfucker.
Uh-huh.
I was like so nervous. Like if he touched me there, I might I was icing it. I was doing electric stim to it all week.
Wow.
Like so nervous that like something was going to happen
to
it.
So cool.
Huh?
Those e-stims are so cool.
Yeah, yeah.
You could feel it in your bone, and it's
yes.
outside of
and
you.
Like,
it's so cool.
You're like your muscles like spasming.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's always something. Pretty much you're going in. I you know get hit in the jaw, and you're like your jaw's clicking.
Oh.
Or, you know what I mean?
Is there a lot of like don't let him know I have this
always.
Weakness,
always.
Or he'll capitalize on
yeah,
it?
Yeah, you barely tell anyone. You like you'll maybe be like yeah my fucking like watch my rib or watch my. Shoulder or this or that, but yeah, you never want your opponent to know
because of course they have to exploit it.
Yeah, you'd be stupid not to.
Do you watch a lot of game tape and shit?
I do. I watch.
Is that part of it for everybody?
100%. Yeah, you watch. You want to see like a tendency. You want to see if the dude's a righty or a lefty. You want to know. You want to get a like body to spar with.
Mm-hmm.
So like, if I'm going against Diego Sanchez, he's a southpaw. I have a guy in my head who's like, oh, my buddy Daniel Rodriguez, southpaw, this dude out in L.A., tough kid, you know, maybe a little bigger than Diego, who's going to give me longer. So it's going to be – I'm going to have a tougher time fighting D-Rod than I am Diego. That's kind of the goal. Oh. You want to – you know. And then that's also a good way to normalize it. I'm in here with my training partner. I'm in here with D-Rod. I'm in here with whatever. You know what I mean?
So then when you see Diego, it's like sort of normal.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's always going to be crazy, you know?
What do you mean?
It's always going to be like, fuck, I'm going to be looking across the cage and there's 20,000 people around me screaming and all right, now I'm going to fight in front of the lights. So the lights are coming down and yeah, it's always different. It's always like, and I remember when I fought Sage, I was like.
That was a big fight.
It's huge.
CM Punk was big, but you knew you were going to win.
Yes.
Sage, you had to have. Well, any doubt?
I was more nervous fighting CM Punk than Sage.
Why?
Because if I let him do one good thing, I consider myself a failure. Like I had to like represent MMA in this sport. Like,
wow, interesting.
So like I was more nervous. Like if he did one good thing, I needed to make it violent,
make
one-sided, and short. That was my goal. It was 2 minutes. I beat his ass, gave him a cauliflower ear, busted, made him bleed, and took him out in 2 minutes, quick. But with Sage, I was like, I have a little more room for error. But
yeah.
I'm also fighting a dude who's been a lifelong striker. Since as long as he could walk, he's been doing karate.
So you have to know there is a path for me to lose here.
Yeah, like I said before, human body could get hit and go to sleep. I've never been near knocked out before in my life, But yeah. I know it. I know I'm not invincible. I know I'm a human. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's also little things like when Chael actually lost to Anderson the second time, he fell on his own and then got that knee
spinning
to the chest.
Back fist into the knee to the chest.
But like the falling on your own is like, that's not, you didn't even, no one took that from you. It was just an accident.
Yeah.
And then it puts you, like that error has to be so frustrating.
Totally. Yeah, like you take when Chris Weidman was fighting Luke Rockhold, and he did a spinning back kick and got his back taken off that, and that changed the fight. So everyone was like, oh, that spinning back kick, like Chris Weidman. It's like almost like a big joke, kind of.
Like you, it's not your fault, but that it all changed
you're,
everything.
You're trying to win, but shit happens, you know?
Like you ever walk and then like just your knee just kind of like locks backwards?
Yeah, I've like stepped or like rolled your ankle.
Yeah, rolled your ankle. I don't know where. It's like I'm not even stepping on anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that shit could happen.
Yeah. Anything happens, you slip on it. That's what I was saying. Like with the CM Punk fight, I have to like slip on a banana peel, break my neck for me to like that'd be the way I could lose to this guy.
Was it Carlos Condit who went into the second round with Anderson and he was like, he gave up the two because no one goes to the second round with him? And then he
I don't think so.
It was somebody. And then he just snapped his leg without even moving. It was just like, he was just like standing
was
and almost
Patrick
like,
ah!
It was Cote. It was Patrick Cote.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Similar type dude. Yeah. I see that. Yeah.
And he gave him the two. And then he just like broke something standing.
He broke something.
It was like, what? And Anderson's like, I don't think this guy's okay. I didn't touch him. But
yeah.
Yeah. And then he was just done. And it was like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That's the thing, man. It's like, it's fickle. Like little things could, you know, anything could happen. It's the beauty of it too, you know?
It is kind of.
So you got to be perfect. You got to be as perfect at least as you can.
Yeah. What are the kind of things that people don't understand about your whatever your thing?
I'll say this. So I know at least how grueling a fight could be. Like when you're on the fence, like everyone's hugging and you're pushing. All right.
It's all powder.
Powdery. Yeah. It's that good. Good. And then, so like when you're on the cage and like that grueling shit, that's just rough. And people are like, oh, boo,
when you're
boring.
What? On the cage?
Like on the cage, pushing on each other.
Yeah.
And I'd say a big thing is when they see people getting tired, they're probably like, oh, fuck this dude. He didn't train hard? No, everyone trained hard. But like, if you think about, you try and fight for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
It's just a hard thing to do. And like, especially.
I know, but at the same time.
It is your job?
Yeah. When Major League Baseball player, when Sanchez is hitting 185,
right,
and people are like, well, you try. It's like, I don't have to try. I'm not getting paid millions. That's not the deal. You gotta hit better than 200,
right? Totally.
Or we'll get on you.
And you need to. And yeah, and you, and there is totally like, I get that, but there is also like, there's some of the shit is fucking grueling. Like going to striking and then going on the ground and wrestling, and like using like those like isometric, like different energy systems, and then getting back up and wanting to be loose and snappy with punches. They're two different energy systems, and they can tax you. So like, we've learned that we really have to work that. Me and like my team,
get taxed.
We need to practice. Yeah, you need
how
to,
are you going to fight gassed?
Exactly. You need to go. We need to make it comfortable to be able to throw loose punches, go on the ground, squeeze, use muscles where we're squeezing and pulling and pushing, and then get up and then be quick and fast again.
You know what suicides are?
Yeah, like the runs back and forth. Yeah.
So we used to, in basketball, my coach made us do suicides and then immediately shoot free throws.
Mm.
He's like, I want you training free throws when you're as tired as you're going to be in a game.
That's great.
Yeah.
You need to be comfortable in the uncomfortable.
Yeah. What's it like getting gassed?
That's one of the scariest things. Because you're out there limited in your capabilities.
Uh-huh.
Not only because you want to show off, you want to show out, you want to show what you're capable of. But also, now this dude is trying to hurt you, and you might not be able to protect yourself. Like, you remember when Chad Mendes fought Conor McGregor?
Yeah.
Mendes
fought him well. He got injured.
He dominated him for two rounds.
Yeah.
But he came in short notice. That second
round,
he watched that punch. He was too tired to pick his hands up to block the punch. So he couldn't. He was so tired because he was doing his thing, but he just, for whatever reason, was tired. Yeah, and took that second shot and got knocked out.
Yeah. He had a real shot against him. I remember watching him go, like, if he had a full camp, that guy would have won.
It's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
Frankie Edgar,
I
another
think he
Jersey
exposed
guy.
It for Nate to be like, just wrestle him, man. He's got nothing with wrestling.
Yeah. Connor, that's it. What he did was he actually mismanaged his energy. He was throwing big shots from the beginning. By round two, he started getting hit by Nate. And he's like, fuck, I'm tired.
Yeah. Oh, these didn't finish him.
He didn't go to sleep in the first round. Yeah. Fuck. You know what I mean? So it's like.
I remember seeing Rashad, I got like friendly with.
Yeah.
And when he fought Tito.
He did fight Tito.
Yeah, Tito. And Tito was grabbing onto the cage while Rashad was trying to pick him up. And they said, like, give him a warning. But it was like, oh, whatever. And Rashad's like, dude, no. When you put all your energy into picking this guy up off the ground, you're wasted.
Yeah.
And then he cheated to not let me up. And it's like, but I was expending all my energy to get him up.
Yeah.
And it's not, you can't just like, oh, you don't get that energy back. Yeah, you don't get exactly. That, yeah. You don't get it back on a warning.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine just being where your body's like no longer responding.
I know. And you're in the lights and it's, you got to be, this is when you want to be your best and you feel like shit.
I see that a lot where the corner's like, gotta go for it, gotta go for it, Bill, go for it. And you see him just kind of still waiting.
Trying,
like,
yeah.
I can't. I'm going to get punched in the face. I have nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's you gotta train hard. You gotta train. You gotta risk it training too. Like, I like to spar a lot.
Yeah.
When I was at AMA when I was young. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I fought a little bit growing up. Like, I get in a couple fights, but I would spar like 5 days a week. I would spar a lot. Just to like get used to it, learn on the job. So, but now I still like that because it gets you familiar with the game speed. That's the only way you can replicate fighting is by fighting.
Yeah,
I think, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, so I like going with the tough dudes. I'm like, yo, try and take my head off. Let's go. You know.
Yeah.
Some guys could be too nice, and then there's other times when I'm gonna bring up Jim Miller again.
Full.
Yeah, they're trying to, like, my teammates will be trying to protect me, kind of.
Yeah.
Make sure Miggy's got a fight coming up. Let's make sure we don't hurt him. But
sure.
They'll also, like, the Jim Miller effect. I remember dudes would come into the gym and be like, oh, that's Jim Miller? I'm going to go home and be like, yo, you see that guy on TV?
You know,
yeah, something like that. So, like.
That's great, actually. Now you get a real test every time you roll.
Any gym I go to, I get people coming hard at me. And I'm like, cool, because I like a foreign gym, like where it's not my gym or someone else's home. So I kind of like that. I let them start coming hard, and I'm like, all right, cool, motherfucker.
Oh,
all right,
cool.
We'll go hard too.
Run.
Yeah, yeah.
My bowler friend said that the problem is a lot of bowlers make their living gambling, you know, on bowling, just going to fucking lanes
really?
With the regulars there. But he goes, the problem is once you're professional, you can't hustle anybody.
Yeah, they know
because
who you are.
Like, yeah, we know
you.
The top 50.
Huh?
You know, and like you're top 15, so it's like,
yeah,
you know, like fuck, it kind of ruins the idea of it.
Yeah,
but the opposite works to your benefit. With like, they know you.
Yeah,
and
they
like,
know who they
I'm
know. Who Mickey Gall is
you.
When I go to the gym, they're gonna come. They're gonna send their best guys and
yeah.
try. And,
isn't it funny how the gyms try to like show each other up? Like, my gym's better than your gym, and we'll show you by beating
just
one
people.
Of your guys.
We all want to be on. Have a team. Our mm-hmm. our team is. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, the gyms are a lot like political stances.
Very, very much so. Very much so.
Huh. After a fight, I get this after my specials, and I've seen. Ren Azizi's wife said this after she got married, where it's like everything is going into this thing, and then when it's done, win or lose, it's like, I call it postpartum depression.
Almost like your purpose is...
Yeah, your purpose is robbed from you, and it's like, now, do you get that after fights?
I'd say...
Depression
to,
almost?
I'd say, I'll tell you this, after like my wins, like, so this last fight, I buckled down, I was in LA. I asparagus and salmon.
Yeah,
you know, every night. And then when the fight came, I got the quick win. I'm happy with it. I'm happy. I've been happy for the past month. I've been enjoying. I've been back in Jersey, having a good time, and I feel good. I tell you this, but I know after like my last loss, where I put everything in, I'm doing it perfect. I'm even like limiting.
Oh yeah.
I had nutritious, and I'm limiting the amount of times I have sex.
Really?
Because he's like, hey, chi energy. And I'm like, you know what? Whatever. If it's going to help me, I'm going to do it. And I'm like doing everything. Eating perfect, doing stretches every night. I still do like stretch, but like just all the time. Getting up in the morning and doing a 20-minute walk because it's good for you. Doing all the shit, trying to do everything right. And then you don't feel good on fight night. I, nine times out of ten, I think I win that fight. I was going, I had like Tourette's for like a month. I was going, fuck, 10 times a day. Like, fuck, motherfucker, fuck, fuck. Like, so it sucked for a while. But I'd say at this point, like,
yeah,
if you're proud of what you do, I don't think you feel the lack of purpose. Like, you're like, oh, that's my, I got my chance. I painted my pretty picture. I got my art. I did my shit. I feel good. I'm proud of it. I'm going to chill out for a little bit, and then I'm going to get back to work and
go
to another one.
Beat this
guy. Yeah. Then I get, right as it gets, starting to get stale, like, in a month, if I don't have a fight booked, I might be like, fuck, what am I? What do I do? You know?
And then what do you do? Enter a grappling tournament?
You could, but I'll just get a new fight. I'm going to stick with the fights.
You want Diego as your next fight?
100%. And I think it'll
hopefully
happen.
That means this will be out on a Monday. You think I should do it the week of or a week and a half before?
It's like a week and a half before.
Yeah, okay. So a week from Saturday,
yeah,
you'll be fighting somebody. Hopefully yeah. Diego.
And I just almost got like a little putting myself there like, oh, it's fight week. And I got to.
Really?
Because, yo, that like the. So the night before. The whole fight week, it's okay. There's a lot going on. You're doing media. You're talking. You're cutting weight. You got a million things. And then you make weight.
Oh. Yeah.
You go and you eat and you refuel and you're drinking and you feel good. You can finally drink and eat again. And then you wake up on fight day. And it's, let's say it's 10 a.m. And you fight at like 8 a.m. And you got some hours, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
And you got some hours to kill.
Yeah, and what do you do that day?
Dude, you're like, I wake up and I'm like... Like immediately, I'm like fight. It's fight, and like, but I'm not fighting yet.
Yeah.
So I go out and I'll walk up and down the hotel hallway. I remember for like one of my first my first one in Vegas, I must have paced the hotel. I must have walked 2 miles in the hotel just on my floor, just walking back and forth, just getting rid of the nervous energy.
Uh-huh.
And I talked to like a sports psychologist, and like he was like, just stay present, just stay like.
What do you mean?
Like, if I'm feeling nervous, thinking, fuck, I'm about to fight in a few hours, all my whole life, I've been training for years, and it's all about to come to, like, take the CM Punk, how I said I was nervous for that. If I had, like, lost or did bad in that fight, I'm basically, like, done. You know what I mean? Like, I'd look like such a joke.
Well, you can't be thinking that the whole time, right?
No, gotta
be thinking,
exactly.
Like, I'm moving, I'm gonna shoot, I'm gonna do this.
I'm just gonna let my training take over. I'm just gonna let all the shit I train, I'm just gonna try and be present and loose. So when I'm thinking and I'm feeling nervous, I'm walking up and down the hotel. Let's say I'm barefoot. I feel my feet on the hotel carpet. I'm not in the cage right now. I'm in the hotel. I'm just walking in a hotel, just trying to calm myself down.
Bruce Willis did in what was the movie where he's in a hotel? Not in a hotel, in an office building. Die Hard, yeah. Where he's like making fists with his feet on the hotel carpet because he was so nervous about.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny. Bruce Willis is from New Jersey too, so maybe that's a.
You guys are garbage people.
Jersey dog.
Trying to claim you're 7 famous people. Bruce Springsteen is not even from there.
He's not.
I don't think so. I don't think he lives
like
there.
Upstate, he's like upstate or something. Yeah, shit. It's all good.
It's all good.
Got Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah, that must be weird. What time do you last eat?
So that was one of the things that I think I did incorrectly
mm-hmm.
in my one fight. I went to Madison Square Garden and I did a good warm up, and I came back and I ate one more time, and I had already like worked out. It just didn't sit well in me at all. And then I went and come fight time, I had like a lump in my stomach for hours.
I'd say what I did
this time, when I went over there, I was eating like pretzels and like dark chocolate, just uh-huh. eating some like sugars and carbs and drinking like Pedialyte, and I felt good. So if like I'm hungry, I'll eat something, but typically you don't want a full stomach. You don't want to eat like a big meal within like a couple hours. Maybe 3 hours. I'd have my last like 3 hours before the fight, before
like
I leave the hotel.
Meal? What do you eat like?
So, to replenish, I do a lot of, like after I cut weight. So like I said, did we talk about this on the tape where I was 197 when I came in on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I weighed in at 169, on Friday, cool. The day before the fight. And then I was 195, like later that day. I fought at 195 when they weighed me at the arena. Between Friday morning and then, you're drinking a lot of water, drinking a lot of Pedialyte.
Yeah.
Salt, magnesium.
Salt to hold the water.
Salt to hold the water. Creatine. And then I'm doing a lot of like rice, fish. I actually this time I was eating rigatoni pasta yeah. and watching Godfather. I was watching that. That was what I was doing but night before the fight. I was on Netflix.
Yeah.
So I was watching Godfather 1 and 2. You're doing a lot of carbs. A little bit of like protein, but mostly carb. You're just carbing up.
To gain the weight back?
To gain the weight and get the energy.
Okay.
That's like your best energy source. And like as a performance athlete with fighting, you want to do a lot of carbs. It's hard to do low carb as a...
Dude, I ate a full pasta meal once before rolling. I mean, like 30 minutes before.
Oh.
And I was like, I almost barfed four times. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. Yeah, because you can't eat 8 hours before. You'll be out of energy.
Yeah.
You can't eat right before.
Yeah, it's It'll and that's heavy. The thing, man, like managing that where it's like you want to just feel your best. You don't want to feel any type of pull on your stomach, you know, cuz that's going to zap your energy.
Yeah.
You know? So all that, like, just that's what I say, like learning on the job.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Learning.
It's cool that you guys hire people that are like have expertise in it now.
Yeah.
To be in your camps to be like, yep, this is when you should eat.
A nutritionist.
Yeah, nutritionist.
Yeah.
Hey, this is the one thing I noticed that most people don't, if they ask me, like, what's a thing about UFC fighters that most people don't know? Right before the weigh-ins, their breath stinks. Like, yeah, nothing I've ever, like a bulimic, like a fucking, yeah, sorority.
Yeah. I bet, because it's probably just because their mouth's so dry.
Yeah.
And it's just like that dry, like, uh-huh, gross. Yeah. Yeah. I'm constantly rinsing my mouth out because I have that, it's so dry where I'm just spitting
to get
in the
some
sink,
like condensation into your
just
mouth.
To, yeah, because it's just so it doesn't feel like hell. It's, yeah, like a desert in my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like off stage if I've been talking for an hour and 20 minutes without drinking anything. It's like, ugh, stinky.
Yeah.
But if I hadn't eaten anything all day, all the fucking acid's coming up.
Yeah.
Hey, how do you feel about press? Do you hate them? Do you okay with them? I'm sure there's different ones. Like Ariel's pretty smart.
Yep. Yep.
Or you tell me, actually. I
like Ariel. Okay. I do like Ariel. I like it. It's cool to be able to, it's cool to be able to talk about what I love to do,
mm-hmm,
and someone who's interested and wants to talk about it. I guess they could ask you shit you don't want to talk about. But for the most part, I like it. I think it's fun. And especially like fight week, it's kind of, it can be a nice distraction. And like you kind of, it can get you excited and you could like, you know, it could be fun, but, at the same time, sometimes you're just like, oh, I got to do this now. All right, I got to go downstairs and go over here and do, yeah, this. I'm cutting weight. I'm not in a good mood. I'm a little irritated.
Like, I don't want to.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it could be like that, but it's not so bad. For the most part, people are cool. If you got a motherfucker trying to be cute and like trying to like get
you
a
get
rise
that?
Out of you.
You get that sometimes?
I remember I had one time, I had this dude. When I was in London, I did this interview. I was doing interviews out there, and this, yeah, one guy... fine during the interview, but then when he puts out the article,
yeah,
he titles it like Mickey Gall, I stole everything I'm doing from Conor McGregor.
What?
And I was like, I saw this, I sent him a message on Twitter. I was like, what's the name of this article? And he was like, oh shoot, sorry, our editor, blah blah blah. I don't know if it was him or if it was the editor.
Yeah.
But whatever it was, that's fucked up. If I'm going to go take my time and talk to you, yeah, and you're going to try and make me look like an asshole.
Here's my take on that. I have heard that especially online articles, the guy choosing the title is not the author.
Okay.
And the guy choosing the title, their only responsibility is to get as many hits as possible. So they're the ones going, you know, best beatdown ever. And you're like, that wasn't even good. Or
yeah,
like best, you know,
perfectly you?
Says. So yeah, then it's like you read the article and you're like, that doesn't even back up what the title says.
Yeah, Schilling and I were talking about that. Like, it's the worst when they'll misquote you. They'll they'll take what you say and just add a bunch of shit to it.
Yeah,
and just like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, why am I?
Yeah, what just like what you just said about the press, where like it's pretty nice. Every once in a while, it's annoying, but generally, you know, I kind of like it. And they just go, pretty annoying, you know. And you're like, that's not, you know, you're misleading the truth on this.
Yeah,
dude, I've given up on journalism.
Yeah, Mickey Gall hates press is what someone could write from after this. I'm like, I know, I said your guys are cool, but sometimes you do dickish shit.
They're all liars.
Yeah.
I go into interviews now going like, I know you have the ability to make me look however you want. I hope you just show the whole thing.
Yeah.
But
hope you'd be cool. I'm
but
at your...
like, you guys are garbage now. The journalism and the state of it is awful. So it's like, fucking do what you want, I guess.
Yeah, clickbait and all that bullshit, right?
Yeah. Well, dude, I don't know what else there is to say.
How long we do? We did
it's
a good one?
It's long, yeah, for sure. 2.5 hours.
2.5?
Yeah.
All right.
Plus an
okay.
intro will be 3:10.
Okay.
I'm trying to think what else I'm missing about like what it's actually like to be a fighter.
It's fun, man. We get to train. You get to train with your buddies.
That's
cool.
Get
some good work.
That's the coolest part. I remember after when you're like...
You feel good after working out. You get good endorphins, you know?
Yeah, when everyone's just chilling, like you finish the drills and he goes, okay, roll if you want. And then like you do, and then you're just sitting there, you're sitting next to somebody else and you're just making dirty jokes or just like talking about sports. And it's just like,
it's like
we're all having a good time.
Yeah, we got all that testosterone out. We got all that. It's nice. I love it. Like I said, no other way I'd rather spend my 20s and 30s.
God. It's a cool fucking
Jersey meathead.
It's a cool fucking life. Do you guys ever say that to each other? Comics do. We're like, dude, I tell jokes for a living. This is fucking great.
Yeah. I did the bonfire with Big J and Soder.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about what you're going to do with the apocalypse. Like, shit you talk about when you're at lunch in high school or right. in middle school. Like, it's a great life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great
yeah.
life.
And you're it's like a Tuesday afternoon. You're like,
yeah.
I'm just doing nothing.
We got, yeah. It's hard.
It could be
sometimes
at work right now.
Sometimes we get, you know, whatever it is, you might, like, stretch yourself out. But, like, we got a pretty good life. It's pretty cool.
I had a guy, this guy Atari, who was, I think he trained a little bit, actually. But he was owned a dispensary. In L.A., and he was starting to be a comic. And then he came to the Comedy Store. You've been there?
Yeah.
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 And
I got to say, Tebow always hooks it up at the Comedy Store. That's he nice. Takes us through. Yeah.
Shows you everything,
Tebow,
all the dark
yeah,
places.
He's a man.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And he goes, dude, your name's on the wall. That's so fucking cool. And I was going through whatever I was going through, like, oh, I can't get on Comedy Central for this, or I can't get this. And then you see that guy with that kind of, like, energy of, like, that's so cool. Your name's on the wall. And you're like,
yeah.
You know what? Yeah.
It is.
I've got a pretty fucking cool life.
It's not bad.
Yeah, do you guys get that? Where you're like,
totally.
Dude, I
and like,
fight
I got,
for a living.
My career's been pretty blessed. I was in the right place, right time. I was the right guy who said the right shit. I got to the UFC at 1-0. A million motherfuckers are like, fuck, probably like, fuck, mm-hmm. Nicky. Like, I've been working this hard. Because a lot of like great MMA fighters who stay in obscurity, who can be 12-5 and are badasses, but for whatever reason, they don't get to the show. They don't get their shot.
Yeah.
They're not like cool enough, sexy enough, or whatever to get attention. And then sometimes I'll be like bumming out, like, man, this or that. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm living my dream.
Could be way worse.
When I was 16, I wanted to be in the UFC.
And
now I'm in the UFC.
Fuck.
I'm in the UFC. I got in there quick, dude. I got in there within 2 months of my pro career.
Damn.
I turned pro. 2 months later, I'm in the UFC, fighting the UFC.
On a main card? Crazy. Was that CM Punk card a main card fight?
I fought after Uriah Faber. And then I fought. Then it was Steep. The heavyweight championship was two. So my first UFC fight, I was on Fight Pass. Yeah. I was a Fight Pass headliner. They made like a kind of a big deal. I got a post fight interview. Called out CM Punk again.
Yeah.
He came in the cage. We did a stare down. Whatever.
Yeah.
And then I fought CM Punk. I was on the main card. Then I fought Sage. I was the co-main event.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just busting. That's why I'm in LA. I'm in Jersey. I'm busting my ass, and I'm not gonna let anyone take it from me. I'm just gonna keep, you know, do the most of it.
When you look at like LeBron, and I was talking with Bobby Kelly about this yesterday, where it's like, what's the difference between being the best player in basketball for 6 years or being the best player in basketball for 7 years?
Hmm.
Not much. And so, like, what
right.
motivates you to work just as hard when you've already hit the top?
Yeah.
Like, how do you stay there? It must be impossible. But for like you. Where it's like, you have a 15-year window of this. Like, can you commit that whole time and work hard for 15 years?
Yeah.
Or I'm sure you've seen a lot of guys just, like, kind of...
piss it away.
Yeah, like when Rocky stopped training as hard.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like, you got money now. You're not working.
Yeah, though. For sure. That happens, too.
Damn. Well, it's a cool fucking life, man.
Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Where can people find you online if they want to...
At Mickey Gall. MickeyEY, Mickey like the mouse, GALL.
It's an easy one.
Yeah.
Instagram, mostly post pictures of your dick, so get on
always,
there.
Always, always. Hella dick
pics. Knob.
Hella dick pics. Yeah.
I've had so many Instagram posts, they're like, no, take it down. I'm like, why? I can't show my dump? Like, no. I'm like, why? What world are we
shit?
In?
No dumps?
Uh-uh. I'm like, for learning purposes?
No,
like, no.
Yeah, everybody poops.
Everybody poops.
Yeah, science.
That's just science, exactly right. All right, cool, man. This was cool.
Yeah, it's great.
Informative.
Yeah. You're the man. I'm a fan of Skeptic Tank.
Thank
fan
you.
Fan Ari Shaffir.
Thank you.
Hell
you
yeah.
were one of our first Punch Drunk listeners for
right,
the fucking fight organization.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, dude. I was back from the Toad Hop days.
Toad Hop days.
Yeah.
We had fucking you
like I said,
and
man, I
Cowboy
to Rogan,
were the only ones
and
we
then
ever
I listened,
had on there.
Yeah,
pros.
And then I got from Rogan, I got like you, I got Joey Diaz I became fans of, you know.
All through all that?
Yeah. Right,
that's
right
cool.
from, yeah. Right from the, yeah.
Man, we really,
but, you know.
We really had the idea of, like, we can raise like $500 and put our name on Mickey's shorts. And I was like, it's not realistic.
I wish,
bro.
Yeah, I wish.
Hannibal sponsors a fighter, doesn't he?
I saw that in the one of the chick fighters in Invicta.
Really?
Yeah. He put a Hannibal little picture all over everybody.
It's so great.
Do you watch Eric Andre's show?
Him oh and yeah,
Hannibal?
A bunch.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah.
Do I love like Impractical Jokers of fucking with people?
He turns up the heat in the studio so
just
people
to make
are
them
uncomfortable.
Dude.
Without mentioning it, just like they're sweating.
Vomiting on the thing in front of... Dude, he's off the chain. He's like you. He's like, you know, you guys, like nothing sacred. You go for it.
Dude, but he's legit like that, Eric Andre. Cool guy. I know I'm okay. But like at Bonnaroo, they were like, we have a shuttle going back. I'm like, what happens if you miss the last shuttle? Like, ask Eric Andre. I'm like, what do you mean? He missed the last shuttle, and he called us at 7 a.m. going like, oh, fuck, I slept on the grass. Can you guys come pick me up?
Fuck, subwhere?
Just on the grass. Just somewhere out. I'm like, fuck yeah, living your best life.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm sure people walking by. But Eric Andre passed out?
No way. That couldn't be Eric Andre, right? Actually, yeah, it's definitely Eric Andre.
Yeah. All right, Mickey. Good luck. You're going to fucking win next Saturday?
Yeah, we're going to win next Saturday.
Yeah.
Fuck a dude up.
Excited about it.
Check
I'm
me
putting
out.
$50,000 on it.
Probably going to be on Fox Sports 1. Maybe pay-per-view. Probably Fox Sports 1. Check me out.
Oh, here's one. The fighters, would you rather be on Fox Sports 1 or pay-per-view?
Probably the pay-per-view.
Really?
Because then you're in every bar and you're everywhere. Pay-per-view, that's main card. And you want to be on the main card. I've been on the main card a couple times. And I like
but don't
that
more people see the Fox Sports one?
I wonder. I haven't seen like the analytics of that.
My friend would, Avi would only get the free one. He was just he's
right.
one of those guys
that's
like, I'm not paying $60.
TV.
So
I'm
like,
not gonna. Yeah.
Yeah. When they're on, he's watching.
Yeah.
Like
I don't know. I feel like it's like, either way is okay.
Oh yeah.
But if you're on like Fight Pass or like my last fight was on Fox Sports 2. And I tried, like, that's why after my fight when I won 69 seconds, I like tapped my wrist. Because I hit up Dana before. I was like, hey, if I make it quick, you got to put on Fox Sports 1.
to do the add-in fight.
Yeah,
that's
just add me
like,
in there.
Got,
so like,
10 minutes between
show me a little extra. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what's up? Is that quick enough?
Yeah, man. Good luck.
Thank you, brother.
It's been cool getting
Thanks.
To know you.
Hell yeah. Likewise.
That's the episode, you guys. That is the episode. Oh, I did not talk about this fucking Justice Smollett thing in the. It's hilarious, though, in the intro. I definitely should have. It's fucking hilarious. I mean, as someone who doesn't stage hate crime attacks at all, this doesn't affect me one way or the other. But I mean, on so many levels, it is funny. From fucking, okay, first of all, from a guy literally none of you have heard of. Not literally, but none of you ever heard of this guy. Nobody I know really watches Empire. And if you do, you might not even know their actual fucking real names. So, what the fuck? So this, I mean, you know the story now. This dude got hate crime. He got bleach poured all over him. Miss Pat was the funniest. Ain't no nigga gonna wear a cap, gonna wear a ski mask and a cap on top of that. That's our news fake. She said they wouldn't waste bleach. Niggas ain't wasting bleach. I use bleach for our laundry. I didn't tell you guys since then, too. That storytelling show, the 9th anniversary, was so fucking epic. I went up first. Miss Pat, Ren Azizi, Ali Sadiq, Diaz, Kreischer. Fucking murder. Anyway, this dude... I guess to get more money. People say, like, how would that get you more money? How would faking a hate crime attack get you more money? But I can see it. I can for sure see it. Your name goes up. You become associated with that. You become like a fucking hero. You know what I mean? And then they got to pay you to stay on the... It's not like football where they're paying you for performance and name. In acting, they pay you, not really, you can be a bad actor. If your name is huge, they'll just have you. And then you have value because you like bring in viewers. So for sure I could see how it would increase his pay scale.
I don't know if it would have, but it could have. There's an angle on that I see. You know, whether or not it worked, that's a different thing. But, man. And then, okay, so I don't think this is a left or right issue. You know? I personally think the left and the right are far more alike than people give them credit for. I'm a independent, I guess. Centrist, maybe. I don't really know. I'm against wars. And I'm against money in politics. I don't know where that puts me. I think against both of them. But anyway, it was... Okay, so people came out on all sides saying how terrible it was, you know? Ellen Page. Is that the chick from Juno? Donald Trump. I mean, all over the place. People were like, oh, this is fucking shitty. Ellen Page was the best because she was like, there's a direct line. Mike Pence being a vice president who volunteered, or his wife runs a gay conversion therapy camp. This emboldens people. This is a direct line. This attack was directly because of him. You can do the math and draw. What'd she say?
I gotta get it.
Oh, and by the way, I gotta look at this fucking... I have got to look at what's it called. Take the name of Trump. The fucking, what's it called? It's have to be tremendous. I'm telling you right now, the comments, in the latest comments. It was a hoax, not a hate crime, lady. For 2,000 likes. When America is so great that you have to hire two Nigerians to oppress you. Cringes people. Watching this after Jussie was charged for faking the whole thing is hilarious. Wow, the comments on here are a lot different now. This is aging very badly. Had she walked back her statements about Smollett's attack? I mean, she's super vocal about injustices, so I figured she'd call out the injustice of a hate crime hoax. I have an opinion, therefore there is no debate. Oh yeah, she said there's no debate. I gotta find the exact line she says. Okay, here's one part of it.
We need superheroes.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, yeah. The urgency would be so severe, and instead it's like we have a media that's barely talking about it. We have a media that's saying it's a debate whether or not what just happened to Jussie Smollett is a hate crime. It's absurd. This isn't a debate.
I agree.
I'm like really fired up tonight, but
this is how you have to be fired up.
It feels
up.
Impossible to not feel this. President and the Vice President Mike Pence, who like wishes I couldn't be married. Let's just be clear.
Oh, this is the best. I gotta find this exact part. This is the best. This okay. You just gotta apologize when you're way wrong. Okay, listen to this. Listen.
Is the government of Indiana, and I think the thing we need to know.
She's an actress.
Show Gaycation did this.
She's an actress.
Connecting the dots in terms of what happened the other day to Jussie. I don't know him personally. I sent all of my love.
What an actress.
Connect the dots. This is what happens. If you are in a position of power and you hate people and you want to cause suffering to them, you go through the trouble. You spend your career trying to cause suffering. What do you think is going to happen? Kids are going to be abused.
Not this, though. Not this.
And people are going to be beaten on the street.
Except you didn't.
I have traveled.
I mean, that ain't your fault, lady. That ain't your fault. That he didn't get beaten up, but your speech that you got applauded for so much. You got, I mean, a pre-written speech for sure. The dude had a picture of her waiting, of her and her wife waiting for when she mentioned it. Colbert. Just be like, okay, I guess I was wrong. Maybe, in fact, I have to rethink some of this. And where I do think things are terrible... This definitely was not a case of that, and this definitely hurts. I just got to come out way hard against him, that's all. You just got to come out really hard against him. It's like, this fucking hurts people who shit has really happened to. Every time they see one of these things, they now second-guess you. Fuck that guy. Get rid of him forever. I mean, that's what you should be doing. But, I mean, you ain't going to see that. It's all about these narratives. They have these narratives in mind ahead of time, and anything that doesn't fall into the narrative... Not even like what they think of people. Forget about like you look like a type of villain. You look like a type of hero. Just the narrative, like that fucking Indian guy who like went AWOL from the army 3 times and they called him a hero. If it doesn't fit into the narrative they've decided, then it becomes uncomfortable. I think it might be like a form of cognitive dissonance. So like when Sarah Silverman comes out and she was like, yeah, Louis C.K. asked if he could masturbate in front of me. And I said yes. And I let him sometimes. And then he would. And other times I said no and he wouldn't. And then later he would ask again. I'd say yes or I'd say no. And he would always be respectful of what I answered. So when that comes out, she gets attacked. Like, how dare you? And when you step back from it, if there's no other story, it wouldn't be how dare you. It'd be like, oh, okay, cool. Good for you for fucking speaking your mind. But it's how dare you because we've already decided this narrative is this dude is a fucking awful person. And what you're saying is maybe the dude is not an awful person. And that hurts this narrative. Not just like, well, maybe I'm wrong about this whole thing. No, because that's an impossibility. This Jussie Smollett thing, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. I mean, it's hilarious. You got what you wanted from Trump, saying like, yeah, what a fucking awful thing. It's not left or right. It's just nobody left for hate crimes. That ain't right. That's fucking, you know, that's just racism. Where are the apologies? At least you're going, hey, I was way wrong on that one. It doesn't negate my overall point, except the point where this definitely should. I mean, there's no from her. There's no like, well, actually, maybe if I did have to connect dots, maybe it wasn't Mike Pence doing this, but like, what would cause someone to fake a hate crime? Oh, maybe it's speeches like this that reward victimization. I mean, you look at Miss Pat, and I saw that new show on Netflix, Dangerous Comedy. And it's these people who are going through real shit to do stand-up. I mean, real shit in Iraq and Nigeria and Liberia. And then you get to America, and it's like, oh, none of that is nearly as hard. But then they had this whole piece on Miss Pat. It was great. I got to tell her I saw it. And there's no victimhood there. She's talking about horrible things that have happened to her, but she's just laughing about them. The same way I would laugh had a good shit in your pants story. You know, at the time it was terrible, but it's not like you presented it from a place of like, it was horrible. She's just like laughing about her fucking getting molested at 13 or getting shot in the tit. It's not like, and I was shot and I had to overcome that. There's none of that victimhood on her part. And I mean, that's one of the things I love about her. But a lot of people fucking love being downtrodden. It's such a fucking weird, braggy thing to be into. Anyway, good podcast episode. Mickey Gall, guys, don't forget, if you're gonna get the UFC, if you're gonna go watch it at a sports bar, why not make an excuse to watch Mickey Gall this week? It'd be a fucking good one, you know. Diego Sanchez, what a fucking good fight. I saw that guy fight a long time ago. Yeah, I'll be watching it for sure. Pulling for him. The best intro we ever had was him in Cleveland, and they wouldn't let him do it, or maybe he didn't ask. I think they wouldn't let him do it. You can't ask, Mickey. You can't ask. It was going to be to come out in Cleveland and do the fucking, when LeBron was still there, do the fucking talcum powder and throw it up in the air. The place would have gone nuts. He's good at fucking trash talk, and he's good at fucking, you know, calling people out and interest music and stuff like that. He's creative and he's a fun guy. So everybody pull for him. Everybody send him your support, your love. On Twitter, he's at Mickey Gall. And don't forget, I'll be in this month, in March, Miami and West Palm. Before that is Phoenix and Tempe. Tickets at AriTheGreat.com. Only like half a second show is left for Toronto, April 6th. Vegas with the guys. The Comedy Cellar, just short sets. First March Madness week, and then Cleveland and Calgary coming up. Get tickets for all those; they're all going to sell out. So that's the episode, ladies and gentlemen. For Mickey Gall, I'm Ari Shaffir saying so long. For Ari Shaffir Skeptic, episode 349. So you want to be an ultimate fighter? So long, everybody. This time, this is my fight song. Take back my life. Prove it more right song.
into motion, like how a single word can make a heart open. I might only have one match, but I can make an explosion. This is my fight song. Take back my life. Still got a lot of fight left in me.